Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issue. Debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. But Nizzy May and Tay in the building
is what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
Right about now, NWA quarters in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy Motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape. The tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole off bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, it can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. Just cause I'm from the CPT, punk police are afraid of me, huh? A young nigga on the warpath, and when I finish, it's gonna be a bloodbath of cops dying in LA. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Testimony to the jury about this fucked up incident.
Fuck the police, and Red said it with authority. Because the niggas on the street is a majority of gang. It's with whoever I'm stepping. And a motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law. Wishing Red was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me. But they're scared of a nigga, so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh. Because it gives them a hint not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying, fuck you, punk. Rights and shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club so you stand with a fake ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up, and we'll go at it, punk, and I'ma fuck you up. Make you think I'ma kick your ass, but drop your gat and Red's gonna blast. I'm sneaky as fuck when it comes to crime, but I'ma smoke them now and not next time. Smoke any motherfucker that sweats me, any asshole that threatens me. I'm a sniper with a hell of a scope, taking out a cop or two. They can't cope with me. Some motherfucking villain that's mad, with potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around, put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that, but it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police would make my day, but a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
Fuck the police.
I'm tired of the motherfucking jacking, sweating my gang while I'm chilling in the shack and shining the light in my face, and for what? Maybe it's because I kick so much, but I kick ass. Or maybe because I blast on a stupid ass nigga when I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Because the police always got something stupid. dorm waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here the rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keeps looking in the mirror and is on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling off the eight, he'll be the one that I take out and then get away. While I'm driving off laughing, this is what I'll say. Fuck the police.
Find you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.
Wait, that's a lie. That's a goddamn lie.
Get him out of here.
I want that dead.
Get him the fuck out of my face.
I want that dead.
Out right now.
Fuck you, you black motherfucker.
Fuck the police. Fuck the police. Fuck the police.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to It's Real Talk Radio. We are in the building. Welcome to another show, y'all. We here, man. The panel is here. It's your boy, Tay Real.
It's your girl, Nizzy Nay.
It's your homeboy, LV.
We here, man. We here. And there's no need to even lollygag around. Let's get right into it. You know what I mean? You know the song we just played. NWA classic. And I think I felt like it was the right way to open up. Now, tonight's topic is police brutality. You know, and it's so many angles to come at with this. It's so much to look at, you know. I mean, for starters, we just played, you know, after police, but at the same time, in my opinion, not all police are pigs or all police are, like, bad people or looking to take advantage of people or hurt people and stuff. But this stuff is getting out of hand. If you've been keeping up with social media or even your local news, you'll know the stuff that's been going on lately. I mean, this year, 2014, with all of this police brutality and police murdering citizens, you know, it's gotten out of hand, and it was only right to do a show on it, and it's just crazy. Like, I've been watching different things on YouTube and looking up different information throughout the day, and it's just mind-boggling to me. It's just mind-boggling because, like, the police job is supposed to be to protect and serve, and yet you have officers out here really hurting, harming the community, and even killing people. It's crazy, man. What you think, Nezzy? How you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten really ridiculous. Like, before, you know, I really didn't pay too much mind to it, to be honest with you, because I thought, oh, gosh, this is, like, black people, they're just acting ridiculous, and, you know, the police is just doing their job. But I think that once, you know, the whole Trayvon Martin case happened, it just got worse. Like, it's just becoming really big now. It's really getting out of hand. Like, nowadays, that's all you hear about now. Lately, that's all you ever hear about. I go to work, and that's all you hear about. Is somebody young getting shot by a police. It's ridiculous. When I go to Facebook, I read my news feed, that's all I see. It's something happened with the police shooting somebody. And 9 times out of 10, they're young, they're black, and they're unarmed.
It's crazy.
It is really crazy. Really, really crazy.
Like, LV, what's your thoughts?
The other day, I was going down my news feed, and I seen this. I think he was 18, too. The only thing is, only difference is, was he was getting arrested for possession. I think he had marijuana on him, like a pound of marijuana. So they arrested him. he's handcuffed. He gets it. He's in the back of a car. And they take him to the sheriff's office. And he's still sitting in the back of the car. He's still handcuffed and everything. And they don't know exactly what happened. Supposedly, there was a shootout, supposedly. And the guy that was handcuffed ended up getting shot in the back while he was in the back of the police car. He was handcuffed. Supposedly, the guy shot himself in the back. That's what the police officer said. He shot himself in the back because there was a gun, you know, there was a shootout. Like, how the hell was there a shootout? Well, and then they say that, well, the guy was unarmed. I mean, first thing a police officer is actually going to do is they're going to pat him down. How other way do they know that he has drugs on him? By patting him down. He wouldn't have anything on him because before they put him in the car, they're going to take anything that is a weapon or anything that he could do to harm them before he puts them in the car. So how the hell did this guy get shot in the back? And all things get shot in the back. And there was a shootout too. Like, what the hell? This all happened in front of the sheriff's office. Like, it just don't make no sense. And of course, man. He was young and he was black. Of course. Doesn't make sense to me.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
It's just becoming like a trending thing. Like, you just almost like every week is a new story. You know, like, you would spend days, maybe even weeks, like, just looking up the stuff over the last, like, just few years, looking up different cases of police brutality and where crooked police was harassing and hurting and murdering people, because that is murder. No, this is murder. I'm gonna hear Alvy's thoughts. Alvy, how you feel about it?
Before the show started, I told y'all how I felt about it. But all I can really say is that power corrupts, man. Point blank, period. There's not one man, soul, any race walking the face of this planet with any power who has not done something out of corruption. And I don't really want to say that, you know, there's not a lot of discipline and, you know, morals and values. Fuck all that. When you have power, that gives you the ability to change any and everything around you as you see fit. That is one thing that God forbid man not have. And one thing that we still have to this very day is power. It corrupts. And for a simple fact that if you happen to be something, some type of government official, a lobbyist, whatever it is, you have that type of power to either influence or destroy. And the thing about you being a cop, the thing about cops is they just control residential neighborhoods. You know, armies, you know, a SWAT or what you want to say, National Guard, they get states. Police handle all the itty-bitty things that nobody else can see. And the crappiest thing about the situation is that when you're at the bottom of the totem pole as far as race goes, that's where they're going to put a majority of, you know, all of that hatred, that anger. And I have no idea why black people were brought over here to America as slaves to work and build this place up, and they get hated for it. That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my motherfucking life. The fact that you're a cop, a grown-ass cop who happens to be properly trained in, A, the escalating a situation, two, using your gun when and necessary, and three, you know what I'm saying, just basically be as fair as possible without breaking the law.
if you in the middle of the ghetto, and I know it sounds cool, but if that is ghetto is like a place. It's not like a term. If you actually stayed in the ghetto, let me tell you something, man. There are no rules down there. So those cops can do whatever the fuck they want. You know why there's no rules down there? It's because we made it like there's no rules down there. Anything fucking goes. These cops don't give a shit about that. They don't take the time out to, you know what I'm saying, treat you as a normal blue-collar, white-collar citizen is who's paying their dues and all this other bullshit. You're at the bottom of the barrel. They're going to treat you like shit. You know what I'm saying? Because you come from that. And the bad thing about that situation is that no one is actually telling these people, well, hey, when you go down there, make sure you don't de-escalate the situation. Or you know, they're not like, hey, you know, you go down there, you know, make sure you're fair with everybody. They're like, no. They're like, no. They're like, man, you better go the fuck out there. If anything happens, you pop a motherfucker. And a bad thing about that whole situation is it just happens to be towards blacks. And I'm not saying blacks brought this shit upon themselves. They didn't. It's not like we willingly hopped on these slave ships like, yeah, let's come over here and see what this shit is fucking about while I'm in chains. You dig what I'm saying? But the bad thing about it is when we got here, America placed us there. And the reason why they put so much power and anger and try to control is because they understand how powerful black people really are, man. Like, you have to understand this, man. Like, I want to say it's a psychological thing, but it's been going on since we got here, man. And every single time I see something like that, it's like, all right, they shot another young black dude. It's like, all right, so basically what they're trying to say is there happens to be a lot of young black dudes getting shot. They're trying to cut off your ability to reproduce. You know what I'm saying? I don't hear a whole older black man getting shot. Whole bunch of younger black kids getting shot. Taking off your ability to produce. You dig what I'm saying? You remember Boys in the Hood when Lawrence Fishburne took them all the way down there to Compton?
Right.
He sat here and said, the only way you could do it is to get us to kill ourselves. He said, you take off their ability to reproduce. That's one way you kill something off. You know what I'm saying? If I don't want this plant to grow or this weed to grow, I'm yanking this motherfucker by the root. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have to see it no more. And the bad thing about it is that these overseers or something like that, they give them the power to use and somewhat abuse to keep control in a place that, you know, either is ignorant to civilization or just hasn't really, like, gotten up there, which is bogus as fuck. Because at the end of the day, the people lowest at the bottom of it really don't have that direction like everybody else. So how are you gonna keep these people down here and expect them to do better about it? You know what I mean? Like, how do you keep oppressing this neighborhood or, you know, you rolling up on kids, you know, like, these little young thugs, you know. You rolling up on a kid down there in the hood, you're like, this little young thug, he probably ain't about shit. You know, he probably trying to sell some dope. You clicheing the shit out of his ass. Don't know nothing about this boy. He about to go over to his mama house. He just got home from school. He about to go to the crib. You roll up on him, automatically seeing, like, you know, he's a potential threat. Like, this motherfucker's 18. How is he a potential threat? Oh, okay, sweet. So he took a box of fucking cigarillos from the Quickie Mart. Oh, I'm sorry, Pooh, about your fucking loss, but you have a lot more money than that. And, like, all right, he left. Well, he committed a robbery when he pushed the guy. Not like he tried to kill him. The guy was like, hey, give me back my blood fellows, you motherfucker. He's like, man, get the fuck on somewhere before I knock your ass out. It walked out the door. So regardless if that petty crime needed him to be shot, that's stupid as fuck. Like, oh, man, you stole a box of blunt. I'm about to blow your brains out. Are you fucking serious? How about I just roll one up with your ass? You put the damn gun away. You know what I'm saying? But you automatically looking at this kid like he's a potential threat. You just lost all sight of the procedure you're supposed to take in apprehending a suspect. You took it all out. You're like, fuck, this motherfucker right here. Woo, what up, motherfucker? Yeah, I saw your ass back there. Get off the motherfucking street. What the fuck you talking to, man? You better get the hell on. I'm about to go to my mama's house. What the fuck you say, little boy? Yanked him by his motherfucking neck, bro. And then pulled the gun out. Like, hold on, officer. Sorry. All officers carry a taser. It's a big yellow thing, like a Ghostbusters gun, on the right side of their uniform. As soon as the motherfucker gets hostile, you're supposed to pull that bitch out. Just like how you see on, you know what I'm saying, Bad Boys, you know, cops. The motherfuckers pull that shit out. All that shit you see on camera is what they're supposed to do. All that shit off camera is what they don't do. They're not pulling out tasers, bro. They'll have to make, like, these are the scum of the motherfucking earth, and the world is better without them. So if I shoot this little punk, Won't nobody really give a shit. I mean, like, he has nothing to lose. So kill this motherfucker. And that's exactly how they think as cops when they go down there. Now, for you to be a grown, intelligent human being with all of that responsibility, power, and influence, you're supposed to take a whole other approach. You know what I mean? What if you actually went down there and handled that approach? Yeah, Mike may be in trouble, but at least the nigga alive in jail, you know what I'm saying? Not, I mean, he could have ruined his life that way, sweet, but like a gun, bro? After he turned around, shot already, was like, hey, man, don't shoot again. Motherfucker, you shot 7 more times just like, oh, yeah, fuck what you talking about. Blah, 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 bliggity, blah, bliggity, blah, bliggity, blah. All right, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, over some butts now? Are you fucking serious? Man, I'll walk to this motherfucker BP across the store while I'm on the phone with y'all, grab a couple motherfucking wraps out of this bitch, and walk out to this motherfucker. He's going to be like, all right, see you later. Are you serious? And I'm about to get cornered by the police? Like 8 SWAT cars pull up like, woo, motherfucker, put your hands up. Like, bro, it's too blunt. Show the fuck out, man. Like, it's too blunt. Don't kill me. Yeah, whatever. Like, oh, okay, well, you know, another day done, huh? Yeah, all right, high five, you know, see you in the shower and shit. Like, are you fucking serious, man? Like, anybody with power, any respectable celebrity still will get, like, treated like a common criminal, especially if they're caught on camera. But at the end of the day, man, power and money talks. And if you a less fortunate motherfucker who they know, one, probably don't know their rights, two, don't have the money to get out of the situation, and three, has nothing to lose, man, they have a totally different aspect than handling you out there in the streets, man. Totally different aspect. And the reason why is because these cops are like, all right, this probably won't come back on me. Oh, but it did come back on this cop. And the out of everything, him being shot, you know, the cop being wrong, the cop being white, or the cop being black, thing that fucked me up the most was this motherfucker raised more money towards his trial than Mike Brown did. Are you fucking serious? What? Are you fucking serious? The cop got more money? The cop got more money. That right there, and that right there should just be like, all right, stop. The cop got more money? What type of bullshit is that, man? So even if a situation like this comes up and you see support, it's still not enough, man? Like, people don't want to pay attention to this shit until, like, steps in front of their motherfucking house and they're looking at their cousin like, holy shit, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying, man? Like,
that's the cop who shot Mike Brown, I believe, is Darren Wilson.
Darren Wilson.
You know what I mean? And it's crazy because like you said when you was telling the story, that's pretty much what we hear and how it went down. I watched multiple YouTube videos. One was like a 10-minute video, and they really just had his body laying there in the street, and it was amazed at like how long it was taking the ambulance to get there. At the end of the video, the ambulance still hadn't got there yet. And the police is pacing back and forth. Like, you ain't even stooped down after you shot him all those times. You ain't even stooped down to like see if he was all right. I guess it was no point. You knew he had there. Like, how many times? From what I'm hearing, it's like he emptied the whole clip. I bet you he didn't even have one bullet left.
Bro,
I thought you could do this whole clip.
I think it's a Glock 40. I think it's it may be a police issue Glock 40 and 9mm. They supposed to hold, like, what, at least 12 to 16? He let off what?
Every witness said they heard at least nothing short of 7. I think they said more than 7. Like, yeah. And you know the guy with the dreads was his homeboy. And, he's been doing press conferences about it and stuff.
Right. But, see, I saw the YouTube video, and they're sitting there like, this guy made a comment on there, because you know how whenever there's a YouTube video, people just troll for days on these motherfuckers.
Right,
anyway,
right.
They just troll for days. I can't even believe how many trolls. Anyway, so this motherfucker basically said, he basically said that he deserved it.
Wow.
All right, well, you can't pay people on YouTube no mind.
He said,
you definitely can't pay them no mind.
first he said it was a theft. Then he said when he attacked the store clerk, he was like, that was robbery. I'm like, it's not like he knocked the store clerk out. The store clerk didn't have the means to defend himself or, you know, wasn't really aware. So when he just came at him and tried to grab him and stop him, big dude, the kid had to be like no more than like 170, 80, maybe 200 pounds, 18 years old. That big dude pushed that little guy like, get the fuck out of the way. Try not to get your ass out. These blunt minds, you can't do shit. Now, regardless if he had it coming to him, had it be that extreme for karma to come back, or had it be that extreme for that situation to ensue, like, well, you stole a big-ass block of blunts from this nice young man. We're going to shoot the shit out you next time we see you. You're in the middle of the ghetto, bro. And if you know the middle of the ghetto, bro, it's like a fucking war zone. It looks like Call of Duty, you know, just without all the respawning all over.
Ain't lying about that.
You know what I'm saying? But, so when the cops come down there, they got a different aspect, man. So they gonna be bullies, man, in order to keep their way around there, bro.
I mean, I've seen cops bullying stuff. I grew up in the hood, and I seen cops do some crazy stuff. But that right there was like some other type stuff, like, because, I mean, first of all, dude, all right, they saying he took the blunts. Like, we see the video, but there's no audio. Was it like an argument, and that made him mad? And he said, you know what, I ain't paying for nothing. Because, you know, I've had crazy experiences going into convenience stores sometimes, and sometimes you want to slap the hell out of one of them people when in them stores.
Exactly, man.
One of them
really
cashiers, man. Sometimes you really do. I've had situations where the police was called in there. You know what I mean? Over crazy stuff. I've been barred from stores, all of that. I've experienced this stuff myself. Who's to say, without the audio, who's to say? He's not there to say his side of the story, but his friend with the dreads, I think he was in the store with him on the arm, but there's no audio, so he wouldn't know if anybody knows. But what does that, let's just say, worst case scenario, he did say, I'm taking them. But why would he have walked to the, he walked up to the front. Like, why? You could tell from them being back and going, you could see it was going back and forth. And then he started walking out, and then the guy comes from behind the writer's stand and chases him. We don't even know. It's all hearsay because there's no audio. But screw that. How is it that you as an officer end up – why was the first shot fired? Now, I heard from argument state that he tried to reach into the officer's vehicle and grab his gun from him, and that's when the officer started firing at him, and then he started running, and that's when he ran down and shot him down. Now, I mean, you ain't got to be no rocket scientist. Like, who in their right mind is going to reach for an officer's weapon? I know, trust me, I know the most thuggish people out there. I know the most gangster of, I'm talking about triple OGs. Like, I know people that's about that life, and I don't know nobody at all I've ever met in my life that's going to try to reach for an officer's weapon, because that's suicide. It's suicide. Like, nobody's that stupid. You would have to be gone off some miles or something to do something that crazy, because you know that's a death sentence, because they can kill you, and they're not even going to even miss a day of pay for that. I don't believe that. I don't think he tried to reach for his weapon. I don't believe it. He started shooting at him, and he ran. Everybody says it. It's witnesses. It's a number of witnesses that all said the same thing. The people that seen it with their own eyes said it. You can hear them. All you got to do is look it up. It's all online. He's shooting at him. First of all, as an officer, the only time you're supposed to shoot at somebody is if like they're an escaped convict and they're running. You're not supposed to shoot at somebody as an officer. You're not supposed to shoot at somebody while they're running with their back turned to you.
They are armed. That's different.
Yeah, they got to be armed, and they had to have shot at you or something. It got to be like self-defense. So you can shoot an escape convict, though. You can do that. But not in a situation like that. So he started shooting at him, so he ran. So once he continued to shoot at him, right, once Mike Brown stops, turns around and puts his hands up, why are you still shooting, Officer Don Wilson? Why are you still shooting? For what? Why? Then he hit him a couple times. Then he goes down on the ground. He's still shooting him. And it's idiots out here that actually support that. Getting together and rallying for what? For what? What is that a rally about? Regardless of race, screw race. Like, why is race even being brought up? Because what if that was your son or aunt? Everybody that's supporting Officer Wilson, right? What if that was your son or nephew or cousin or brother? Would you be supporting then, you jackasses?
Right.
Everybody who is supporting Officer Darren Wilson is a jackass, a hypocrite, an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it right now here on It's Real Talk Radio. This T Real speaking. This is how I feel. And that's just straight up, man. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, this young man was 18 years old. I seen the video. He was laying there dead in the street. Why the ambulance take so long to get there? Why would it come to black people? Like, now this part, this is when I will bring up Reese. Like, when it comes to a black man dead in the street, and it takes all that time for an ambulance to get there. And this man been shot all these times. And then why is it that the officer, what was he, suspended with pay, I think?
He's like, hey, good job.
I think it was like, yeah, like, I don't even think he's not even locked up. He ain't never get locked up for that, did he?
No, I don't think he ever got arrested.
No.
No,
let one of us do that. Let one of us do that. Let me go out here and shoot an officer. Let me shoot an officer multiple times, and let the police find me and see if I make it to the down to Central Brookings alive. Let me shoot
right.
one of them, but they can shoot one of us. Like, how? Why can the police shoot people and kill them and not even get locked up? Not even screw locked up. They get suspended with pay for killing people. That's crazy. It's like it's almost like saying becoming an officer of the law means just gives you a license to kill. You still, like, we are human beings. Like, you got that badge, so what? We still the same. We still all bleed red. How is it that because you got this badge, that gives you a right to hurt or kill somebody, and you now have to suffer the same consequences that we do? I don't get it. I really don't understand. Like, something has to happen. Like, the way the system is set up, everybody want to be arguing about politics and what's going on in Iraq. How about our own police is killing us, man? How about as a citizen, I don't even feel safe. I don't know what I'm afraid more of, some gangsters, like some little hoodlum gangster wannabe thugs, or the police, because they all, it's the same thing to me. Because at least if I encounter, like, some knuckleheads, I think I got a better chance of survival. Because they got to think about the consequences. Police don't got to think about no consequences at all, because they know they're not going to get locked up. They can shoot me and just say, well, he tried to reach for my gun, and they get suspended with pay, and that's it. And now my mother got to bury our son, and that's just the end of it. And then what? Al Sharpton going to come and say his words, and then everybody going to post stuff on Facebook and stuff for a few days, and it's going to be over. And then the officer going to continue to live his life, and what? He might be moved to a different jurisdiction, or they might have him doing traffic or something. Man, get out of here. That nigga need to be locked up. And he didn't get the same sentence that one of us would have got, that officer should have got. So that officer, Darren Wilson, he deserved life in prison for that. How you shoot at somebody that many times? Like, there's no excuse for that. This wasn't no gun battle. It wasn't no, the officer's afraid for his life. He didn't even have no weapon. Why is he not locked up? How can he not be locked up?
It's not okay, Corral.
Come on, man.
It wasn't like he was involved in a shootout with, like, a dude with, like, twin cannons on his arm, bro. He was fucking
right.
with an 18-year-old teenager, bro. Like,
right.
I mean, of course, he's big for his size, but what you thought he was about to do, turn into the thing or something like that? Like, he was growing that thing. Bro, he panicked. He had to panic, bro. Come on, man. They always go down to the hood with itchy trigger fingers, man, because they know there's no holes barred here. So them cops automatically on scare mode, you know what I mean? But, like, at the same time, they still have a way to de-escalate the situation, especially if it's not already hostile. If it's not hostile, try your best to keep it that way. If it is, then you have those tactics. But before you reach for your gun, you should always reach for your taser, bro. Always reach for your taser.
Always.
That's the first thing,
yeah.
man. Like, for real. Like, your taser is there so you don't have shit like this happening. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, because now they had to hide them. I think that if you were a cop who shoots an innocent person of any type of nationality, you should just be stripped of your badge. Take everything out. Now you're a citizen. Now you're a civilian. You have no ties whatsoever. The day you do, you shoot an innocent whatever. I don't care if you made a mistake and ricocheted that motherfucker off something. You know what I'm saying? Give me your damn badge, stupid. You obviously
don't have the mindset to use this motherfucking gun. It's almost the same with, like, it's almost the same with, I don't know if anybody's going to understand this, but it's almost like the same with the ninja proverb. You know, they're always like, you always use fighting last, you know, discipline first. Fighting is always, you know, the last resort when you have no other option, when you have, you know what I mean? Like, you're a cop out there, trained professional, man. You have the situation under control. You know what I'm saying? That's why they teach you not to lose control. This cop obviously did not have that control, so he definitely shouldn't have been in the car by himself. Whoever psych evaluated him need to have their ass whooped for the simple fact that, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. It's just a lot of flaws in the government, and not only did after that happen, they spark all this outrage, but they still got footage of some cops, like, saying, bring it, you fucking animals, you know what I'm saying? I'm waiting. Like, what, are you serious? Then they had another cop point a gun at somebody. Like, why are y'all walking around pointing guns? That's automatically, bro, got me on, like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? Like, you, it's like 10 of y'all got your guns? Like, whoa, chill out. Like, hold on, man. Like, put y'all guns down,
I'm telling
bro.
You,
like,
man.
Put y'all guns down.
Listen.
But what I don't understand is that why is it, you know, young African Americans? Now, I know a guy, he's not a police officer, but he's a police guard. I know two police guards. And one of them, he was a police guard for 12, 13 years. And he said, you know, police guards, police officers, they are racist. They are very racist. And he said, I'm going to tell you why, because, you know, majority of the men, the majority of the inmates in prison now, they're African Americans. They deal with them all day long, constantly. So, and when they're working around that constantly, they deal with, you know, crime and murder constantly like that, you know, they become racist. They get angry with African Americans. Like, I kid you not. Like, I have rode with him to the prison, and literally, they're just sitting there looking at us. Like, literally, when I went with my friend to pick up her husband, I had to hide. Why? Because I was black. And if they seen him with me in that car, they was going to get him. Like, he would probably get beat up for it. Like, he had to walk into that place being racist, knowing that he wasn't, but he had to act like he was.
What type of shit is
officers, because they will get his ass. They will get his ass. They will make your life a living hell up in there. Just because you like black people. You're okay with it.
But
I don't think, you know, I feel you, Nizan, you really touched on a good point. But I don't think, for me, it's not just about race, right? I mean, it comes to race to a certain extent, but I think we got to look at it in a broader perspective. Like, it's not just about race, because you can't tell me that, like, the white guys don't get messed with, and Hispanic guys don't get messed with, too. It's bigger than race. It's the police and the citizens. Like, it's bigger than race.
What if that Mark Brown dude was white?
Mike Brown.
What if it would have been the same situation, though? What if he was white?
And the officer was black.
I don't know, man.
And you know what? You still the police. Done. Like, you know what? I don't think it matters. I think if you got that badge on, and you're representing that police department, I think they're going to back you. For real, to be honest.
Tay and Nate, the reason why that's going to be so crazy is because it's not part of the program. Dig what I'm saying? It's not part of the agenda. You know what I'm saying? If it happens the way it usually happens, like if it's a young thug or some stuff like that in the inner city doing wrong and he gets, you know, that's part of the plan. If it's a trooper or, you know, a whole bunch of soldiers over there blowing up in the base, that's part of the plan. But if you get this black cop shooting this little white kid. That's not part of the plan. No. Take him away. Get rid of him. Bye. See you later. That's not part of the plan. It's not part of the plan. If that would have happened, people will freeze. That's not part of the plan. And then people will be hating us even more. I don't get hate. I really do not get hate, bro. I really do not get hate. The reason why I'm not really siding with the racial aspect of this is because when you make it racial, that even includes even more hate. And the bad thing about it is it's just government. There's not one person that's been pulled over by the cop from any type of ethnicity who actually felt safe and secure. Like, oh, hey, Bill, how are you? Yeah, you know, I spent a little bit trying to hurry up, get home to the wife, you know, because she got dinner going and shit. Fuck out of here, man. Everybody that gets pulled over by the police is like, what the fuck did I do? Even when you see the police lights and they fly by you and you're not the one they pull it over, you're still like, oh, shit, what the hell was going on? Like, oh, hold on, wait a second. You know what I'm saying? Cops are just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was sitting in front of my friend's house and they about to swoop down on us. And, like, I'm sitting in my car and my boy's getting out the car. And they swooped down on us, like, trying to cut my car off. And they sat in the car and it was like, the other guy looked at him like, you want to do it? And he was like, and then I rolled down the window. I'm like, officers, can y'all just stop, man? I'm like, I'm dropping my boy off. I'm about to go home. I'm tired. We ain't got nothing on us, bro. Y'all might as well go on about y'all business. The cop looked at me and was like, you sure you ain't got nothing going on? I'm like, bro, I don't have nothing going on. Y'all can go. And they pulled me off. I'm like, damn, bro, y'all was just about to hop out on us just because it was something to do? For real? That's what your training exercise? Yes, hop out on these niggers because it's something to do. The thing about it was these are our inner-city black cops hopping out on us. Like, yeah, we got y'all little niggas in check. Get your ass up against that motherfucker. Wall. What's this, your little blunt? That shit gone, you stupid motherfucker. What's these shoes? Take the shoes off. Throw them shoes the fuck out of here, little nigga. You know what I'm saying? Let's check you down just so you recognize who's still in power. So next time you see him, you better have your shit together. That's how it is in the inner city. You know what I mean? That's how it is in the inner city. Out in the suburbs, them guys are like, yeah, what's really going on out here? You know, we got a couple pedophiles. Guys are like, you know, little boys. But, you know, we know where we're at, so it's not really a big deal. Down in the inner city, bro, it's like whatever, bro. I told you, man, it's a different mindset. But still, you have training. It's not like you guys are fucking bounty hunter or some shit like that or vigilantes. You know what I mean? Like, just take the law into your own hands. You all have to uphold the same laws. You can't take it into your own hands. And once you do that, that's corruption of power. And you should be cut off from that power, not suspended with pay, going to a vacay, because you didn't use that power correctly. No, cut him the fuck off, man. If you don't want to, since, you know, the judicial system is so fucking full of shit, you don't want to, you know what I'm saying, give him the death penalty and send him to jail, cut him the fuck off. Like, oh, now you're a civilian, sorry. Yeah, we can't have ties with people like you because that's making us look like, as a police force and a state, that we condone that type of behavior to law and govern the community and keep peace. And that does not keep peace. And that is the fucking point. Now you're a civilian. So if they whoop your ass, you're on your own. We got to come there just as fast as you did. They whoop your ass.
It's like, we like puppets, though, because it's like we don't have no rights when it comes to police. Like, this country is all jacked up. First of all, why aren't we even taught? Like, from school, they teach us all this irrelevant stuff, all this extra crazy trigonometry, English 7 and all this stupid stuff. I mean, yeah, we need some of that stuff, but how about teaching that stuff like being responsible with credit, paying bills on time and stuff? Like, you know, how to be responsible as an adult and also, why don't we learn the laws? Like, it should be mandatory. Like, every citizen walking the streets of America should know the rights, like, know their rights, know the laws, know the amendments. Like, it should be mandatory for every child to learn that. And not only that, it should be like a hotline, like a 1-800 number 24 hours a day where you can call, listen to an automated system, and you can just, like, listen to any law. Like, you should know the law. Everybody has a right to know. Like, we can break the law and not even know it. Or I'm be locking you up because you da-da-da-da. It's like, I didn't even know that was against the law. Like, that's a law? I get locked up for this? I didn't even know. Like, we set up rebellion. This country's backwards. Like, how do we even get raised up? It's like if you're not actually going to school studying law, like if you're not trying to become a police officer or a lawyer or something like that, like, you don't even know the law. I can guarantee you right now, anybody that's listening right now that's not in law enforcement don't know half of the laws, not even half, probably not even a quarter. We just know, like, don't steal, don't kill, stuff that's in the Bible. You know what I mean? Stuff that we can go to church and learn. But we don't know, like, the laws, like, you know what I mean? Like, what's, like, the real actually legal or not. Like, it's stupid. It's stupid. Like, and we just don't, we don't have a fighting chance. You know, they can, they're allowed to just do whatever to us, and they don't get no type of repercussions. Suspended with or without pay. That's not enough. I agree with Alvin on one thing. Like, yeah, they should lose their badge. But I say this. Lose your badge if you hurt somebody. If you kill somebody, you're responsible for somebody's heart not beating no more, and you ran that, and you are, you had your badge on when you did it, you killed somebody, like, unless it was for a probable cause, like it was a self-defense or something, or escape convict. If it wasn't that and you did it, screw that. That's not enough. You need to get locked up. Not only do you need to get locked up, but all of that, oh, he's one of us, need to go out the window. And you need to be faced the same charges that I would face, or LV would face, if we go out here and shoot and kill somebody. Facing 25 to life, that's what an officer should be facing. There's no reason why Dern Wilson, whatever the dickhead's name is, should be charged. He should be charged facing 25 to life. He should be facing 25 to life. Like, there's no way that police or military, I don't care what you represent. I don't care if Obama did it. Obama should be facing 25 to life. I don't care who it is. It don't matter who you are. It ain't right, man. Like, you, man, y'all go ahead, man. I'm getting heated over here.
Like, how about this? Because this is something else I've been considering too. Is that if the police kill someone, are we more angry at them because they know better and are the government who's supposed to, like, somebody innocent, rather? If they kill somebody innocent, should they be penalized more because they have that expertise and they're hired by the government to uphold this type of law and they get reckless? Should they be any different from, say, what if it was another young black male that killed? Should they still face the same penance, or should someone get something higher because, you know what I'm saying, this one was a shining example of our nation's government who failed that example miserably when he took the law into his own hands, or however you see it, and murdered this young man. You get it worse because you work for us and fucked up. This young motherfucker over here, they had a disagreement. He shot him. He fucked up. You get it worse because you know better. You get it way worse. You know better. You represent
right. Us. Like the oldest. Like if it's like three brothers get in trouble, and like the oldest, like the 14-year-old, 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old. Well, the 14-year-old, you was like, you knew better. You of all people knew better. So you gonna get the harshest punishment because you could have led by example to your younger brothers. And that's like the same thing with what you was just saying, because there's other police partners, friends, whatever, see them, like, see that they can get away with that stuff, and they're probably sitting there laughing about it, joking about it, and they're going to do it too. So I see what you're saying. I do think that the punishment should be harsh, more harsh than a citizen, but it's like it's so far-fetched, it's so unrealistic, it's so beyond imagination. Like, they don't even get in trouble at all. I agree, it should be harsher, but to make it more realistic, it should be the same. Just because you know that's just, like, so beyond what could possibly happen. And it just comes to a point, y'all, like, where you guys just start to reevaluate things. Like, hold up, I know we're supposed to be America and we're supposed to be the greatest nation, but are we really? I used to think that. Like, years ago, I was rapping. I was so proud. I'm still proud of being American. I don't want to get shipped away to another country or nothing like that. But at the same time, like, come on, man. Like, the way the laws are set up, the way the things that happen, like,
Like George Zimmerman should, you know,
they're so lax.
There's no reason why he shouldn't have been locked up. You know what I mean? There's no reason why Don Wilson shouldn't be
locked up. He was just a neighborhood watch. He was just a neighborhood watch. He was just Ben Stiller, Jonah Hill, Vince Vaughn, and the other guy with the hair. He was just neighborhood watch who took that shit just too fucking serious. Bro, your neighborhood watch. You watch and you observe and report, motherfucker. Who the hell you thought you was? Like Superman? Like, oh yes, this looks like a job for Captain Anonymous. Just sit your bitch ass down, man. And the thing about George Zimmerman is, man, it's like sooner or later, man, that man, he's gonna get served. He gonna have to answer for that. I don't know who about to come and get him, but somebody coming for him, he gonna have to answer for that. But this cop right here, man, who's a shining example of America's U.S. government, is a That's a load of bullshit. These cops are just a little over anxious to lay it all down. I'm being honest about the situation. They're just a little over anxious like lay the law down on people. Like they're just itching to get out there and show motherfuckers that they're not a fucking joke. And it's like,
right.
Bro, like chill the hell out, man. Like you have to, I don't know, there has to be some type of perception where you can see that situation. You know what I mean? Like, but they're taught to treat every situation with aggression if possible, bro. Like, I mean, plus they're city cops, man. City cops are a little more unstable. Way more unstable, man, because they're out here like, I'm a cop with this badge on in the middle of this place. I heard motherfuckers get shot over here every fucking day. I got this gun. Somebody runs up on me, I'm going to shoot the shit out of them, you know, shaking and shit with your badge. And oh, shit, there he is. All right, take it easy. Hey, why don't you get off the street? What? Like, get your ass the fuck off the street. What? Man, get out of here, man. I'm going to my mom's house. What you say, you little motherfucker? Oh, shit. Like, oh, shit, he got the best of me. Get the gun. Wow. And they're like, oh, good job.
It's crazy. Like, why? I've seen cases. Now, I'm not going to lie. Some people would get what they deserve. Like, if an officer is courteous, And that, you know, they're going back and forth with you for 10 minutes straight. Like, sir, I'm asking you kindly to just go over there and move out of our space. And it's like, it's a free country. I'm right here. I can do whatever the F I want. You know what I mean? Don't come near me. You violating my space now, officer. Camera all in their face. Now, you shouldn't get shot or nothing over that. But if you get roughed up. And tasered and kicked a few times. I think you brought that on yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you
don't
get
shot.
That's
different.
Though.
And we do have some people that do that.
You don't get shot. Then that's the first thing you do. That's how you approach it the very first time. You don't start shooting. Like,
no, definitely don't shoot them. But I think that person do deserve to get roughed up and maybe beat down a little bit. I mean, don't put them in critical condition. But in that situation, because there comes a point where it's like, okay, if they're going to, you know, be the officers, they got to have a certain respect level. So you can't just have people disrespecting you, wilding, like, in your face, camera in your face. It's a free country. I can put this camera in your face if I want. Like, nah, man, if they take your camera, stomp it, and then you get beat up, that's on you. But in a situation
right.
where somebody is, like, trying to remove themselves, if you are running away, there's no reason why bullets should be flying from the officer's gun. Of all people, you, a police officer, the person whose job, you became an officer for one reason. You were supposed to become an officer for one reason, to protect and serve. This man is removing himself from the situation. He's running away. You call for backup. You chase him down. You're supposed to be a grown man. Well, this dude is 18. Why you can't just jump on him, apprehend him, hold him down, put his hands behind his back? Because you're a pussy. Officer Wilson, pussy.
Call for backup. Whenever a situation is hostile, before you hop out the car, you call for backup. You know how many cops have called for backup just by routinely pulling your ass over? It's like, hey, watch my back or shit gets crazy. All
right.
Right. If you had a body cam on, you know, you probably wouldn't have to call for backup. I mean, you still would, though, because it's protocol. This motherfucking cop was just being an asshole, man, to the motherfuckers down there because that's how they get down there in Missouri, obviously. You know what I'm saying? They ride through the ghetto. They keep all these motherfuckers in check, man. And if they got to be overly aggressive with these little fuckers, who gives a shit? Just like that. That is the thinking of a cop patrolling ghetto. He's not like, all right, I got to play it smooth. I don't want to disrupt anything down here. You know, these citizens are low class. We understand that they can't have much, and ain't too much going on also for them, so we just got to make sure. It's kind of like almost nurturing. Like, you can't really get mad at all the poor and impoverished and all these people out here robbing and stealing if they didn't have some type of way to make means for themselves. I mean, some people down there in that inner city, you don't know what the hell is going on in that household. I mean, I'm sure people can push harder, sweet, but, like, if it's not no outlet, man, you're going to have a whole bunch of motherfuckers down there going ape shit trying to just maintain, and it's basically surviving at a natural animal basic instinct. You know, I got to do what the fuck I got to do to survive. That's a natural instinct that humans have, and they know motherfuckers down there in the ghetto don't have a lot of shit, so that is the instinct. So they're going in for whatever the fuck is going on. And these cops know that psychological instinct, so they go down there with the mindset that these motherfuckers need to be, how can I say, aggressively detained in order to sustain peace. All these motherfuckers are unstable. All these motherfuckers down here are unstable. We know this. So we have to come with an aggressive type of attitude at the same time, maybe excluding that courtesy just to make sure that these motherfuckers stay in line, because you already know what type of environment this shit is. But, like, if you have that power, there should also be something else after it. Like, look here, man. You motherfuckers are out here doing all this dumb shit, blah, 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 blah. It's getting you fucking nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to have that type of influence on the inner city, it might as well be a positive one, man. Like, fuck, you got to bring your gun off, old bro. Especially if I'm holding my hands up, looking like I'm doing jumping jacks. What you got your gun off, old man? Your scary ass on. Being a cop is not for you.
Exactly. Thank you, LV. Like, you should know how to fight. What's wrong with the system? Why are you hiring pussies to be police officers? A police officer should be able to handle himself. A police officer should be able to take somebody one-on-one, especially an 18-year-old. I don't care how big he is. He's freaking 18, man. Like, you should be able, as a grown man, to apprehend one person. I can see if you outnumbered.
Call for backup.
Right. Call for backup. You know what I mean? But you should be able to take somebody one-on-one. They so scary, man. Because, like, a lot of these police officers are little pussies that was, like, bullied and beat up and ashamed their whole life, you know, growing up. And it was like, you know what? I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a police and I'm going to get my redemption. You know what I mean? I think a lot of these dudes, like that Officer Wilson, I know he was bullied and mushed and getting his lunch money taken in school. You know he was. Because that's the type of, I'm going to get my gun. I'm going to shoot you. You know what I mean? He couldn't even take a one-on-one. Like, how can you be proud of that? Like, how can anybody rally for that? How can anybody, white, Asian, whatever, like, rally for someone, a grown man who wasn't man enough to take on an 18-year-old that was running away from the situation, turn around with his hands up, and you gunned him down the middle of the street like a rabid dog?
Pretty much. And that's how the story's been explained. Over and over.
You know what? He should be beaten and pissed on and thrown somewhere to rot. He should be beaten, pissed on, and thrown in the gutter to rot with the rats. Right there where rats belong.
Oh my God! He will eventually. But like, what I begin from all the reports is that Missouri Police Department of Ferguson didn't know how to handle themselves under pressure, as you can see by the previous, what happened post him, getting shot. Like, they were out there on edge, man. Like, that's how I know, like, these guys are not about that life. Why did you hire them? Like, they should have had a psychological check before you put the badge on their body. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. Talk to them, man. Let them know, man. Thank you. Like, simple stuff.
Like, we need to see how you crack under pressure, man. We give you stress tests. We give you training tests to take somebody down. You know, you get tasered. Sweet. You know what I'm saying? You get maced. Fine. But we need a real psychological test besides you practicing shooting at the damn gun range on if you can handle yourself under extreme situations with the natural public, because the natural public is unpredictable. People are unpredictable. So how do you carry yourself in an unpredictable situation if you're not psychologically you know what I'm saying, strong-minded to handle the situation, you're going to freeze and you're going to have a lot of fear like a little bitch. Not only that, but you may react another way and be over-aggressive about that shit and take that shit just a step too far, and it wasn't really that awesome. It really wasn't that big of a deal, and you took it way too far. And in this case, this cop just took it just a teeny bit too far. He's just like, you know what, I'll give you the taser. I'm going to shoot the gun today. Motherfucker's been pissing
right,
me off.
Right, like, oh, no, I think I'm going to just use the gun. Like,
no,
man, it's kidding me.
Like, you, that's the thing, man. It's like, you, like, if you're a businessman, there's a certain type of emotion you bring to your business mindset. You know, I want this. I can't fold. I got to stay in that mindset. Man, you were down here dealing with the ghetto, which is no different from over there in the Middle East, and they don't have a police force. So, you know, they're going cuckoo banana. We have a police force. We have something they don't. We have an ordinance to keep people in line. But that ordinance still doesn't need to become the main thing that we're supposed to protect ourselves from out here in the streets anyway. And that's what other random motherfuckers shooting us. You know what I'm saying? How can it just be justified because you have that badge on? You take that badge away, which is just a piece of metal. Once you take that badge away, then, you know what I'm saying, you lose that perspective on that person. You put that badge on, it's like, oh, it must be right since you got the badge on. Like, no, motherfucker, no, no. Just because the badge is on doesn't make them right.
Hold that thought, LB. We're going to go ahead and go to break. And when we come back from break, we definitely going to pick up where we left off at, man. We just getting started here on Israel Talk Radio. It's break time. Got the break songs coming up, and then we're going to pick right back up where we left off. The topic is police brutality. The number is 347-838-9540. You're listening to Israel Talk Radio. We'll be back at the break.
Trending topic, I'm the one they all pissed at.
Yeah.
Yo, I get that they boyfriend trying to hit that. I can lift my IG, nigga, where your bitch at? But I'm a mama, I'm with the drama, girl. I'm with that thick with the bony bitches, boy. Get they rib cracked, I'm with the homies you wanted, boy. Come and get that, a dime smoking on quarter, boy. Ain't got no knickknacks, I flip my head to get my head, boy. That's a get back, shit track ran my head, boy. You need to quit that, been twisting up my curls, boy. Shit dolls and pit back, and it's all me and I'm rare, boy. What's the way I live at? Dressed to kill, the murder with no effort. All the extra shooting Texas, I'm just guessing. All the sex that you're seeing when I hop out of the Lexus. Women jockeying, niggas walking, it's the battle of the sexes. 7 inches, strutting, stomping, looking down on all my exes. I'm just messing, now I'm flexing, who I'm fooling, boy I'm flexing. Racks better swerve on if I hear you out here talking reckless. Ask the baddest, I'm the baddest, ain't no lie, I must confess it. Keeping balance, eating salad, I'm a thousand with the dresses. Keep the stones up in my watch, so I tattooed it on the necklace. What? What? Park the foreign in the front.
She did that.
Put the heels on just the sun.
She did that.
Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards.
I'm on my call of duty, got me out on the battlefield, surrounded by landmines, better get down and yield. This is not a game, this enough to lieutenant. Hey, you act so calm, it might cause you your end of day. Got the word straight from the sergeant, they try to take us out. Plus the guy, six of us hostages, we go and break them out. Negotiations off of the table, and they offer blood. Bomb threats, not taken lightly, we gon' give them slugs. We on a mission and it's far from impossible. Playing war games, help us overcome our obstacles. Hold your positions, we about to bring the chopper through. Catch her from the backside, screw him like a prostitute. Trying to rain terror on us, we the bomb squad. Disengage all of your threats, pull your bombs off. Infiltrate enemy lines, time for mission next. Knock them off the grid of the next, turn them into specs.
Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones.
Bombing
on microphone
back,
that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones.
I'm on the block, I'm in, I target them like a marksman. Rhymes spitting out of this chamber soon as you talk shit. Awesome, amazing, accurate with the cartridge. Punchline shooting like missiles, you couldn't dodge. Hiding behind trees, you couldn't escape me. I got the scope with the rifle, busting from under leaves. Binoculars, I see close range, you know we're watching ya. Now you're three-fourths of retreat, because I'm rocking ya. Oh, did I say that? Didn't hear it, then playback. Say, I'ma throw these explosives, where the case at? I treat him like we're turning the loan, just a payback. Pineapple hit him right in his dome, where's face at? I sent him on vacation, primarily in the basement. I got my boots laced in, loose marks and nation. I don't need flexors, funk to drop bombs. I'ma duck my head down and scram like Cobra Khan.
Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones. Bombing on microphone bastards that had rhymes easily annihilate tombstones.
Whoever was the pig, we were going split his wig. And as the years past. Niggas only got worse. Jumped into the gang shit, gotta protect our turf. We had enough of getting handcuffed and pulled over. We started trying to knock their heads off their fucking shoulders. Now where my soldiers at? Get ready for combat. I'm living like the niggas that done went to Vietnam, ay. So if they try to lock me up for smoking my weed, the whole force of police is what they gon' need. One of a kind, I'm the last of a dying breed. Even the one that was before me, he was saying, fuck the police, we handle it ourselves. Even if I beat the devil, yeah, we don't need no motherfucking help. And to the right, what? To the left, what? Let them know, what? We don't need no motherfucking help. Fuck the police, what? Fuck the law, what? Fuck the police, what? We don't need no motherfucking help. Fuck the police, what? Fuck the law, what? Fuck the police, what? We don't need no motherfucking help.
When I'm in New York, I'm hollering, we don't need no motherfucking help. Yeah. When I'm in Tennessee, I'm hollering, we don't need no motherfucking help. Yeah. When I'm out in LA, nigga, we don't need no motherfucking help.
Yeah. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. You tuned into It's Real Talk Radio. You just heard the break songs, which were She Did That by Vicky Shakespeare, Bomb Threat by Too Real, and then I had to bump that Don't Need No Help by Young Buck. Very relevant to the topic, police brutality. And with that said, man, we back, picking up where we left off at. LV.
Yes, sir.
Please, by all means.
Look, man, I think what we need to touch on is how this situation is being manipulated to induce a certain type of thinking to basically entice people to take it along to their own hand. That's what I want to talk about. Now, there are a lot of other instances of police killing other type of people outside of the black race. Now, it may not be a lot of mention because they just want to keep the focus on it being African-Americans. Now, why don't you know, I don't know why we're such the biggest topic. I guess because we're just the best topic to hate. Like, all right, yeah, it's a lot of young African-Americans fucking up. Let's keep all the focus on them, make sure they stay down to a minimum. Then we're going to watch this progress over here in the Latino community. Something like that starts to escalate further past this, then we'll switch our focus and so on and so be it. So the media is sitting there like, all right, well, since this is just a hot story, how can we keep this hot? How can we keep this going? How can we keep instigating this situation to the point where we may get a potential pop? And if we get the potential pop, we're going to have the best story cover ever in America, not knowing that you could be pushing towards some type of, you know, potential race revolution that really is no revolution whatsoever, man, just for the simple fact that, you know what I mean, it's just basically pitting everybody against each other just so you can justify martial law. And we all know what martial law is. There was a glimpse of that in Ferguson. Martial law is when they take all your rights. All your rights. You get nothing. You get nothing. You stay in your motherfucking house. Well, we want you to come
out
with
a knife. Did y'all see that? How the police were, how they was like roughing people up and shooting stuff into the crowd and
yes!
What was they shooting, like beanbags, all types of stuff, like.
Well, they were shooting that. Like, they were shooting flashbangs too. Just
tanks. They had military equipment. Like, are you kidding me?
But
just like LV said, this is what they want. I think this is what the media wants. They want, you know, they want the crowd to respond like this. This is what they want.
They want a response. They want a response in order for them to force their hand. Best thing to do is to coerce you without, you know, just manipulate. That's what this is all about. It's all about manipulation. First off, what should have been saw was that this cop shot this teen, whether they had been a delinquent or not. He still shot an unarmed man. F you. Give us your badge, because that symbol, that six-star symbol, the Star of David, Star of Jesus supposedly is supposed to mean peace. You're not keeping that, so give me that back. You get the fuck on. We'll let you go on this because you're such an awesome officer, and we love your barbecues and shit, so you'll stay alive. We won't put you in jail, but now you're a civilian. Take it to that extent. Me, personally, I think dude should be in jail. Give him a rent.
Oh, yeah.
25 to life, easily.
I think easily. He's rim jobs, bro. Yep, go in there, give him that exhibit. Pimp that life, bro. You should be gone. And that should be the example set on that. Just for the simple fact that I don't want to just make it look like it's just, it's all about police, period. It's not about what color they're killing. It's about them just doing it, period. Like, you know, I think, like, a lot of these ordinary people who are getting recruited to be cops, man, like, there's some type of, there's some type of energy coming out of that branch of government that's just like, you know what I'm saying, you guys need to be a little more ferocious when you're out there, man. And it's like they hiring all of these guys who got straight A's in school who really never really got that prom date, you know, never really got laid. You were like 22, you know what I'm saying, have imaginary friends, and since you really were such a square, we see that you have no background or anything like that, or, you know, no felonies or anything like that. Not saying that causes anything, but, like, since you're such a straight shooter, I'm going to give you a badge. You seem to be, you know what I'm saying, the person we need for this job. You know what I mean? Like, you're not really a bad citizen as everything portrays you out to be. So we'll give you this badge because it looks like you've been keeping peace with yourself. So here, you get this badge. We're going to teach you how to shoot this gun, but you must at all times keep control and never de-escalate a situation unless the situation already seems out of hand. Always supposed to keep a situation from getting out of hand as a cop. Always supposed to keep situations from getting out of hand. You are not supposed to be the person that makes the situation get out of hand ever as a police officer. You're always supposed to detain and keep that situation from exploding. You are not supposed to go there, make a situation. You do not go looking for trouble as a cop. You are here to prevent trouble. That is the thing. Whether or not Michael Brown was smart mouthed than a cop, he probably was smart mouthed than them cops. You think some cops down there are trying to treat you with respect? No, the fuck they not. He was smart mouthed than a motherfucking cop. And the cop got upset because this little black kid talking to him like, nigga, fuck you. The cop's like, oh, nigga, fuck me. No, fuck you. And boom, there you go. Right there.
You know what? I bet you that is what happened. They
well,
trying to say he reached for the cop's gun. I bet you that's what it really was, like on some exchanging words, and he got mad, feeling disrespected. Oh, you're going to respect me. I'm an officer. I'm going to show you.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm an officer of the law by the government. You do not talk to me in that way. And if you do talk to me in that way, I'm going to show you to respect me if you already don't have it when you see me rolling up and down this motherfucking street. You know what I mean? You see me walking down this motherfucking street, man, you better slow the fuck down. You already know what it is. I'm a cop. You dig what I'm saying?
Exactly. You better act like you know. So that's what
and
I'm saying, y'all.
You,
what is
the
difference? What's the difference between these little hoodlums on the corner and the cops? Besides, the cop will probably kill you faster than one of them little knuckleheads will.
Hell yeah.
At least the knuckleheads have a little more of a reason. Like, they're trying to rob you, and you're trying to, like, you know, you're not going to give up your money. You try to strong arm him and take his gun, and he might have shot you or something like that. You know what I mean? And the police will just shoot you because you got smart with them. Like, it's, like, worse than, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you don't even, man, I had so many situations with police. Let me tell y'all one situation. Like, I was in a few house raids when I was younger. And one house raid I was in, my friends go out back as New Year's, and they shooting, like, you know, people shooting in the air to celebrate. So my friends are out back shooting in the air to celebrate. Okay. So, bam. So next thing I know, I see them running through the house, and then I see the, I think it was, like, you know, the knockers. The knockers is, like, running the house after them, and the knocker pulled out his gun and aimed it. Everybody's backing up like, whoa, it's kids. I'm saying kids like 4 or 5 years old, 6, 7 kids of all ages in there. And he pulled out his gun he did not hesitate to pull it. As you could tell, he was so itching to pull that trigger, and all of us was right there, a bunch of innocent people that didn't even know what was going on. And you ran inside the house of someone, you know what I mean? It's not like they hurt, like, it was like a shootout, and a person ran in the house. You know what I mean? And I don't even know how they even knew that they was back there. I got somebody called the police. They heard the shot. I don't know. I just know he pulled out the gun with kids inside the house, not even outside, inside the house. Like, how are these officers being trained? Like, how do you pull out a gun in a house, inside a house, with someone, with kids and everything, and nobody pulled out a gun on you? Somebody's running away. Like, at least wait till you get outside. Apprehend them first. Jump on them. And only in, like, the worst-case scenario, like, your life, you feel like your safety is threatened. You have no choice but to pull it out. It was so uncalled for that officer to pull out that gun in that situation. They're running away from him, just trying to run through the house, and there's kids of all ages in the house. And this officer pulled out his gun. We sitting there grabbing the kids, trying to cover the kids because we don't know if he's going to shoot. It was crazy, man. Like, how are these officers being trained as far as, like, when to use your weapon? Like you said, LV, like, psychological evaluations got to be done with these officers. And I'm not saying they're not done, but they are being done. They're not nearly good enough. You need to really, like, put them out in the field and test them. Like, have undercovers come up and cause situations to see how the officer really responds.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, how trained they were. Like, kind of mess with their head a little bit and see how they're going to react. Like, for real, man, because this – like, the livelihood of the citizens are at stake. You know what I mean? For real, man.
You
guys know
that situation, man. You have to know that situation. Put them in an undercover situation where they don't know shit about it, just like you would an average Joe that you're trying to put an investigation on. Investigate police officers before you hire them. You want me to investigate them? All right. I'll investigate them. Let's set them up. You're going to be over here doing this. They're going to be over here doing this. When we come, we're going to sting them. All right. Well, I got to say this. I don't know. I want to say it's like being an initiation, being a cop almost. But, like, if you put in an extreme situation, how you handle it, man, we may or not hire you, man.
Exactly.
May or may not hire you, man. Like, all right, you're like, yeah, you can go. And then next thing you know, you're in a situation that you know nothing of, and you know what I'm saying, this is how you handle it. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, once you give them the badge, then give them a fake call, then send them on a fake mission, and then see how the fuck he handles. And if he handles himself wrong, thank God everybody's in that motherfucker's trained to, you know what I'm saying, point to the camera, be like, you're on camera, this is candidate, cop camera. We're just putting you in this situation to see how you handle yourself. Motherfucker, you failed. Sorry, you can't.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Get your ass out of here. Exactly. Thank you, man. You know what I'm saying? You know how many people that might save somebody? What LV just said, that might save somebody's life. Mike Brown would probably still be alive right now if they was doing that. This is serious, man. This ain't no game, man. This is not no game. This is really serious, man.
This ordinance was put into play by government from way back. This ordinance, man. So it still has a lot of those old-ass ancient rules, man, that, you know what I'm saying, really came from some dark people, you dig what I'm saying? So it's not going to be all peachy keen. I mean, for me, the only thing that I see that's having any type of effect is when those police officers were body cam. Yes. Yeah, it was some TV show on 62, Channel 62. It was some cop show, and they were putting everybody out there with body cams, how they wear them. And it was two female officers in the car. She's like, I don't even like these body cam. It makes me feel like they don't trust us. No, motherfucker, we don't. Just because we gave you the badge don't still mean you can fuck up out there on some real-ass shit. So let's stop this body, because we want to make sure you're safe as well as keeping the situation safe. So, yeah, motherfucker, you get a body cam. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I just killed this guy, and we all saw that it was murder. But for some odd reason, I still get a desk job. Are you fucking serious? He should be getting gum off the desk job. You get what I'm saying? Like, he got a desk job for choking a guy to death? Well, let me choke him to death and see if, you know what I'm saying, I could be a janitor somewhere on the third floor in this motherfucker. You get what I'm saying?
You talking about the Eric Garner situation?
Yeah. Like, I forgot. I'm not a cop. So it doesn't apply to me until I become a cop. So I can't kill anybody until I become a cop, then it's justified. When I'm a cop, it's justified. So I put the badge
right,
on my chest.
Right, it's a license to kill. It's crazy, man. Why did that officer choke Eric Garner? Like, what was the need for? He wasn't even being violent. He was speaking his mind. Leave me alone, man. Y'all coming up here messing with me? No, I'm not selling cigarettes. Man, leave me alone. Like, somebody, what gives you a right to choke somebody for them saying, leave me alone? Like, obviously, go ahead. Like, I'm good. He was standing still in the still position. He wasn't posing a threat. He ain't put his guard up. He ain't reach for his. Everybody sees this right on online. You can just go right and look at it. There's no reason at all for him to do that. That's another one. He needs to be, whoever that person was, that officer was, or whoever security, I don't know if he was a security guard or officer, whoever he was, he needs to be locked up, and he needs to be facing 25 life, just like Pussy Wilson. For real.
I mean, man, like,
seriously, man.
You, if you condone that type of action as a government that's supposed to obtain this type of morality and value of keeping the peace among citizens, if you're condoning an action of unrest amongst your officers, what type of action do you think the citizens are going to, you know, uphold? You think they're going to try to, like, you know, take the easy way out and stay calm, cool, and collected while you guys are out there just saying, fuck it? You know what I mean? Like, if you start behaving like, you know what I'm saying, the situation that you're trying to keep in control, then who's in control then? Nobody. Nobody's in control. And if nobody's in control, every last one of us screwed. If nobody's in control, if you so-called purge where nobody's in control, everybody has an equal opportunity to be screwed. You have one now.
Right, though.
There's just some laws in place to keep a couple people out of harm's way just in case some shit happens. Like, should I walk around with a bulletproof vest on whenever I get pulled over by a cop just in case this motherfucker's edgy today because they didn't put enough sugar and cream in his fucking coffee? No, probably not. Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pass on that.
It's crazy.
There should be absolutely no way why a cop pulls you over and the last thing you think about is security. Whenever even if you don't have anything, whoever gets pulled over by a cop automatically starts second guessing everything they did today. Like, oh shit, I should have took out the trash. Why didn't take out the trash? Now I'm getting this motherfucking ticket. Oh shit, man, I didn't take out the food. Fuck, now I'm getting this ticket. Immediately, everybody starts second-guessing themselves. Once you see those flashing lights, that is a buzzkill, regardless if you're sober or high. Once you see those flashing lights, the only thing you're thinking is, fuck. Even if you are innocent. That's the last thing anybody should think of if a cop's pulling them over. If a cop's pulling them over, there should be two things. Either he's telling you to chill the fuck out, or he's keeping you out of harm's way. It shouldn't be, you know, he's bringing you some harm. You dig what I'm saying? You should automatically think like shit, and there's nothing you could do about it either, by the way. You can't defend yourself against a cop. If you defend yourself against a cop, that's resisting arrest. Now they could be even more aggressive than they potentially agreed upon before they pulled your ass over.
Right,
you dig what I'm saying? So not only do you have to obey these people, but in case they try to take your rights away, off camera, you can't defend yourself or else you're going to die.
And the crazy part about it, y'all know what's really crazy about it? The taxpaying citizens are the ones, the reason they have a job in the first place. How about that?
Exactly.
Hey, man.
They basically are killing their employers. Like, what the heck? Are you kidding me?
The taxpaying citizens
are the reason that these people have jobs. And once again, not all officers are bad. I've met plenty of police. Shout out to all the good police out there that handle that business that really do protect and serve, because it's really not all of them. We're only talking about the crooked ones, the Pussy Wilsons of the world. You know what I mean? Like, we're only talking about people like them. You know what I mean? We're not talking about the good guys, the guys who protect and serve and who will really try to talk it out with you before they have no choice but to rough you up. You know what I mean? So shout out to all the good officers, man, because we don't want to sound like we're bashing all police. It ain't F all the police. It's F the crooked ones, F the ones that's rough, that's hurting and killing people for no reason, leaving people laying there in the middle of the street dead for no reason, mothers burying their children. For no reason whatsoever. They're the ones we're talking about. We need some protection, y'all. Like, we need protection from the police. As crazy as that sounds here in 2014,
yes.
Like, we need protection from the police. So the police are supposed to be the ones to protect us. But what do we do when the police act violent towards us? Who can I call?
Exactly.
Who can I call when the police is shooting me and I'm running and they're shooting at me? I can't call 911. That's their boys. That's their partners. That's their backup. Who am I going to call? I think that there needs to be another form of police. I think there needs to be another form of police. Like it should, the citizens
should
have
like
their
officials?
Own police.
There should be like officials. Like instead of just the cops coming up telling you like, oh, you know, we pulled you over because of this, there should be like a counselor that they call to come and assess that situation. And then that person makes the decision of whether or not this cop should take this person into custody. But that person should also.
Yeah, the cops got too much power. Yeah, it should be like an overseer.
They just need to make sure that before these police officers go on duty, become like get their badges, that they know that they know all about them. They get them mentally, physically prepared in every situation. That's the only problem.
Well, obviously that's not working, Izzy.
Yeah,
it sounds good, but it's obviously not working. Like, it need more than that. Like, I feel like I need protection. I feel like, what am I supposed to do when the police is trying to blow my head off? What if I'm in Mike Brown's situation? Who can I call? The police is chasing me down. They're trying to gun me down in the middle of the street. Who can I call? The citizens
need their
own police that
they
elect. We deserve that.
So then you think they need to hire even more people on top of that, which may not even do it. It may not even do the job either. Hire more people.
We need protection against the bad ones. Like, we need protection, man. It's real, man. Anybody can get it anytime. And the only thing that's going to happen is they're going to be suspended with pay. They shouldn't even be a part of the same force. That's what I'm saying, Izzy. Like, they should be separate. And they should be the ones that come to make sure everything is everything. Hold up, officer. If you shoot at one of our people, I'm going to be forced to shoot at you. And they're licensed to do that. Like, no, you're not going to hurt the people no more. Like, no. Like, we need, like, you know what I mean? We need protection from them scumbags that's sitting out here trying to blow our heads off, man. We need it. Like, we need protection. I feel like I'm in a disadvantage. I feel like I could get my head blown off and
you're
going to face near a bit of jail time.
You're going to be a major fine, sir. So you're saying that there needs to be somebody to monitor the monitors.
Yeah, man,
that's
bad. Because it's bad. What's going to happen? Like, you know what I mean? What's going to stop it from being one of us next time? If the police shooting at you right now, what are you going to do? Call 911?
No, they're already there.
You ain't got no protection. All you can do is hopefully have on a bulletproof vest or something, because I know you're probably not that fast, so you ain't going to get away. What are you going to do, Nizzy? What are you going to do when the police trying to blow your head off? That's what I'm saying. Like how we had the Black Panther movement, like they stepping up like, screw that. Like, nah. I know that was against the whole KKK and all that other stuff, but I'm just saying, like, we need protection. Like, we need protection from the scumbags, the crooked ones, the ones that's trying to take our lives away, man, take our privileges away. I had police before. I'm 21 years old, and the officer talking about, you got to go in the house or we going, or I'm going to lock you up. I'm 21 years old with an ID. Like, officer, this is my ID. I don't care. Get that ID out my face before I shove it down your throat. You got 5 seconds to go in the house. I'm a grown man. 5, 4, but officer, 3, 2, all right, man, let me go in the house. I don't feel like going to the Central Booker's tonight. What is that? Where is that? Like, come on, man. That's against our rights. We got rights. They can just violate our rights and lock us up and ask questions later, and then you could try to file a lawsuit. It might take 3 years or however long it's going to take. You might win some money. You might. Come on, man. You kidding me? I'm a grown man. You going to tell me I got to go in the house? Come on, man.
I was watching this one thing, okay? The first situation was a police officer. He was on duty. He was like, he did like the traffic. He was just like a traffic police, you know. He write the tickets up and all that. So in one situation, there was a Hispanic guy. He got pulled over for, I think, his license was suspended. So he's doing the right thing. He got pulled over, you know, officer pulled him over, told him the situation, you know, how they, you know, they write a statement down and all that, have it on document and all that. He did it with that guy. And all of a sudden the guy goes missing. Just the guy goes missing. Nobody can find him. And nobody really cared about that situation. It wasn't really made public. They just kind of, you know, swept it under the rug. Then a black guy gets pulled over again. His license was suspended as well. He knew he wasn't supposed to be driving, but he still did. So he knew he was in the wrong for what he did. But the officer, the same officer, pulled him over. African American got pulled over, and he documents everything, and then he goes missing. But that story became really big, though. Of course, because, you know, he's African American, so of course it's major. Plus, his parents went to the extreme. So he goes missing. They're looking for this guy, Come to find out, this police officer killed both of the men because he was tired of writing tickets for stupid stuff. He was tired of writing tickets for pulling people over, so he ended up killing both of them guys.
That's your job, though, man.
And try to hide it. But this officer, he actually got fired from his job. He tried to file a lawsuit.
Right.
But, you know, that was denied. Nothing happened with that. He ended up getting fired. He didn't get locked up, though, knowing that he killed both of them men. He killed both of them and still didn't get locked up. He just got fired.
You not feeling where I'm coming from, Nizzy. You know what you just said? He didn't even get locked up. And you don't think that
no.
We need protection from predators like that? Are you kidding me? We need protection. You said 911.
I agree.
We need,
you know,
we need
711
or something. We need,
but I
like,
think
just
we
to
have something like.
What I'm saying, right? No, hear me out, Dizzy. What I'm saying, right? All right, bam. So I feel threatened. I feel like these police might try to hurt me or even take my life. I'm gonna call 711. Yeah, man. Or you with me? And you see, I'm about to, you know, they after me. You call 711 and be like, they're gonna come to the scene just to make sure. All right, where at? All right, be there. They're there not to apprehend us, but to make sure everything goes smoothly, to make sure that we don't end up, somebody, a Mike Brown situation don't happen or a Rodney King situation don't happen. You know what I mean? Like, we need protection because they're in a brotherhood. You understand that, right? Like, the police are in a brotherhood. They stick up for one another. You know what I mean? And unless you turn your back on them, they got your back.
Unless
you turn your back on them, they got your back.
I think if we have a you know, somebody that's above them, they're still going to all stick together. I think some way or another, they're still going to stick together.
No, but see, you missed what
another.
I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need they got a different building, a different everything. They wear different uniforms. They got a different – it's not even 911 to call them. This might sound like, yeah, this is some imaginary stuff, but I'm dead serious. Like, I would feel so much safer knowing that I got – protection from the people that are supposed to protect but might try to blow my head off. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder, it's like almost like having a lawyer on the scene just to make sure, okay, look, he grabbed his firearm and tried to shoot me if I run away. That officer grabbed his firearm. Sir, don't do it, officer. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't shoot that innocent guy. I'm going to shoot you if you shoot him. And just like you're going to be suspended with pay, they'll be suspended with pay. You know what I mean? It needs to be even playing fields. I'm telling y'all, what's going to end up happening, people are going to get so fed up. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's getting to a point where it's going to end up being a freaking war. It's going to be a war, like, against the police. Like, people are going to get so fed up. People are going to get together, and it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like, we ain't taking – man, they're going to just come to the police station, just guns busting, just like, man, we about to shut y'all down. Like, is that bad? It's going to be on some movie-type stuff. Like, situation has got to get resolved. We sitting here writing about what's going on in other countries. Like, America is so immature. And you got people that's actually invested into that. Like, all of that politics stuff is immature, man. It's immature because we write about stuff that's going – man, you write about something that's going on in a country that takes, like, 9 hours to get you on a freaking plane? You kidding me? And we got these problems going on here in America? Are you kidding me? Like, we need to worry about what's going on now. We got too much violence going on, too much all of this stuff. All this stuff that's happening right now is crazy, it's out of hand, and we need to get it together. Like, the politics and stuff should be focused on this country, what's happening. Like, how can we help it? Like, how can we make this better? How can we get better, more equipped, better psychologically evaluated officers that can help protect and serve and get these, like, people that's really terrorizing the communities off the streets? You know what I mean? But without innocent people being sacrificed in the process. Like, that's what really need to be talked about. Like, I don't care about what's going on in Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. I don't care what's going on because I don't live there. You know what I mean? Like, we need to worry about what's going on here. Like, how can anybody be investing into the stuff that's going on in other countries? We got these problems right now. You've seen it. They had it live, televised on CNN. You've seen what was happening in Ferguson. You've seen the police was geared up like military. They had military-type firepower. For what? For the citizens standing up for a noble cause, for a young man getting gunned down in the middle of the street for no reason because the pussy was too scared to try to take him one-on-one, so he gunned him down like a dog in the street? Are you kidding me? And that's okay? And we just going to move on and just, yeah, it's just life. You know what I mean? The police is going to do what they do. What type of politics does this country really have? Like, what type of say-so? We puppets. What type of say-so? What rights do we have as citizens in this country if that can happen? And we just sit around protesting, holding up signs, holding up our hands. I mean, shout out to everybody that represented. But it got to be more than that. Like, the politics of it, like, the people that's really in charge that's running the stuff, that's running it, like, they need to get their asses out. And we need people in here that's really here to represent. And, like, if you break the law, I don't care if you're an officer or you're a government official, your ass is going to jail, point blank, end of story. Like, we're not having it. Like, we need, like, a revolution. Like, this whole thing needs to get rebuilt from the ground up. Like, real talk.
It makes a lot of sense.
Freaking ridiculous, man. Hey. You feel me? Like, I don't even know. Like, when I see an officer, I'm always at a 50-50. Like, I don't know, man. Like, he might be trying to help or he might be trying to harm me. Like, who knows? This officer might be having a bad day. What if he's having a bad day? I had an officer tell me, I will beat you with this nightstick. He actually said this to me.
Wow.
It was a white officer. It was a white officer. He called me a boy. And I'm like, don't call me no boy. I'm like, this ain't slavery. Like, don't call me that. And he was like, I will beat your ass with this nightstick. That's what he told me. And I couldn't do nothing, but I was like, man, F you, whatever I said. But I didn't run my mouth too much because I knew at the end of the day, what was going to happen? What am I going to get out of that? I ain't got no protection. What, I'm going to file a lawsuit? He's going to beat the crap out of me, him and his partners. My homeboys are going to have no choice but to sit there and watch. If they jump in, they're going to get their heads blown off. And they're going to watch me get beat in the street like a dog. And they're going to, at worst, get suspended with pay. I can't recall last time I seen an officer get suspended without pay. And even, what's that? That ain't even nothing. That ain't even nothing. Come on, man. We got real issues going on right now. Real issues. And something's got to get done. Because what we doing ain't working. Like, rallying and stuff is cool, but we got to find another way, y'all.
What type of action do they allow people to take besides stand up and speaking for themselves? And it's obvious that speaking isn't doing anything else. I mean, you can go speak, sign petitions, hold up signs, you know, sit and stand, but, like, citizens really, at the end of the day, are powerless. And the only way to do that is for somebody in power to come to that conscientious decision to just say, hey, that's enough. To whistleblow, just be like, all right, that's enough. Get rid of it. You know, we're done with that situation. Because the simple fact, man, is that how are we sitting here trying to govern our streets, keep peace in this bad boy? You know what I'm saying? And then we spending all our man time over there in a place that has absolutely no government whatsoever or any type of ordinance, we're trying to make sure they maintain peace. Like, how are you doing that over there and you can't do that over here? You are not the shiny example of keeping the peace, motherfucker. You basically don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I mean? So for those to be – I mean, Obama got called off a vacation. He wasn't really on vacation, but he was on the T last time I checked. And he got called off of that to come and address his situation. And I don't want him to just look like a figurehead that's not going to do shit, because that's what everybody thinks. But at the same time, he still has to go through a procedure in order to get stuff done. You know what I'm saying? But as a regular citizen, what can you really do, to be honest with you? Like, if I call the police, they're going to come after my ass. If somebody is outside of my motherfucking house trying to break in, and they come in, and I defend my household, and somehow may end up, killing this individual or immobilizing to the point where, you know what I'm saying, they're inept, they're trying to, finish that assault, I have to worry about me going to jail for that situation. I have to worry about me going to jail for harming this motherfucker for breaking in here trying to kill me, because I became the aggressor in that situation. And the bad thing about it is that race plays out into how that situation will be handled, which it shouldn't at all. Like, regardless of who's in this house, if it is your house and you're trying to defend it, then why should race come in there, how you play out the law on this, this individual? You know what I mean? And, like, the thing I'm thinking about is, we know that cops should be, like, the shining example of what's going on. But, too, then, there are some motherfuckers out there who don't give a shit about nothing and will shoot a cop. And that is a bad situation, man, because, you know what I'm saying, if the only way for you to be able to have control is for you to control your surroundings, you know what I'm saying? Everybody should be in control of their own community, which is kind of bad because there are no more communities, man. You remember back when communities used to be strong and shit? They used to keep shit out of their community because everybody was like, this is our neighborhood, this is our block, we're going to fight for it. We have a union. And they got assistance from the cops had it got out of their situation. We don't have that anymore. So now that they know that most of these communities are abandoned and, like, you know what I'm saying, depleted, and it's free for all in this motherfucker, and they lost that respect, bro. So now these motherfuckers are down here on some old crazy-ass shit. And at the same time, it's like, all right, well, since you know I got out of hand, now since you are the person in power, you have the power to bring it back into balance, not knock it out further, you know what I mean? Like, unless you're just anxious to try this new, M4 that they sent over here, military-grade issue, you know what I'm saying, this big-ass hammer truck that you're going to be driving in the middle of residential streets, like, yeah, I wish somebody would come up here, knock on his motherfucking door, and ask me for directions. You know what I mean? So, I don't think anything should escalate. If anything, man, the motherfucking cops should be out there, like, you know what I mean? Like, all right, everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, settle the fuck down. They're more like, no, fuck this. Run up on me. I'll shoot the shit out your ass again. Let's see what's popping. Like, what? Like, you should be a cop, man, saying shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, like, I mean, the cop is just like, oh, you're saying fuck it, I'm saying fuck it. But you're in that power to be like, all right, you're saying fuck it, this is how I got to handle that situation. Because at the same time, you should try to preserve life before just be like, well, fuck it. If that person does not care about life at all, whether you or him die, as a cop, you still have to preserve life to keep it. So you can't say fuck it either just because this motherfucker said fuck it. You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing that you live by, is to preserve life. So if this guy is aiming a gun at you or about to be like, yeah, I'm about to kill you, motherfucker, the first thing you're supposed to do is immobilize this man, not shoot him dead. They teach you how to immobilize. You shoot in the arm or the leg. I mean, I can't shoot you if I got a bullet in my arm. You dig what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? If they got a – I guess how the situation really plays out, man, and how you handle it under pressure, man. And all I'm saying is that – if these dudes are going to be out here handling this unstable, you know what I'm saying, inner-city youth, then there has to be some type of psychological effect that has to take place in order for him to be down here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on, hold on. We got to call him real quick.
All right. I'm about to chill back.
That's hey, good. You hit on some good stuff, but let's see what this caller thinks real quick. Aria code 314. Let's see what Aria Code 314 thinks. Aria Code 314, you're live on It's Real Talk Radio.
What's going on, y'all?
What's going on?
Listen, that stuff about police being trained, they don't have to shoot to kill. No, that's not the way it works. The state statutes say they have a right to use deadly force, and the definition of deadly force is vague, unspecific, and as wide as a river. If you want to stop that type of reaction, you have to change the law, because it's the law that ultimately, I mean, when you have a grand jury, first thing the grand jury is told the law, and they ask them, do it look like they violated the law? No. They're told if they feel like they are in danger of their life, they have a right to. Well, that could mean anything. It has to be more defined. Change the law.
I agree. That's
a little more detail in there. Like, in event of this situation, an officer has the right to blah, blah, blah specifically. Out of that will be potentially breaking the law, and that officer has the answer to that crime.
See, the way state statutes go, legislative bodies, whether it's Congress or state legislators, enact laws which become statutes. Those statutes are directed toward a particular agency. It may be the IRS, may be the Department of Education, Department of Energy, or in a state law enforcement. And the heads of those agencies interpret that statute and make rules and regulations by which the employees act. Now, if the head of those agencies interpret the statute to say that if a person pull out a handkerchief, you got a right to shoot them, then that's the way it is. That's why the statutes need to be very, very precise, telling you what you can do and what you cannot do. And the way they are now, they are not. Let me give you an example. You know, on one side of town where blacks are, and on the other side of town where whites are.
Exactly.
A white kid can do the exact same thing. He would get handcuffed and the black would get shot. That's because the laws are interpreted differently.
Oh.
And so they need to be interpreted the same. They need to, if from the statute should read, and it should be specific. If it say walk down one block, turn left, walk over two blocks, turn right, then that's what it should say. But it don't say walk down one block, and I think you turn left, but maybe you turn right. No, that's what come all this shit's going on.
Bingo.
You hitting on some good stuff, Carla. You're definitely hitting on some good stuff, and I do agree with you on what you're saying. Let me ask you this. How did you personally feel about the whole Mike Brown situation? How did you personally feel about that?
Well, the man was killed. I live here in St. Louis. And I know exactly what all, I'm not too far from there. But the thing is that you got another thing we demand is that these police departments, the fire department, city hall, public works, and the school district, their personnel have to reflect the percentage of the population that they serve.
Right.
This thing where you got 53 police officers and only 3 of them is black in a community that's majority is black is totally crazy.
Right.
It has to stop.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about economics now, not even talking about the law and what's right and wrong. I mean, what is more wrong than for that to go on? Your kids can't go over in their community and work and get on the police department with that type of imbalance. Another thing. Let me get this real quick. If you constrain them with the law, if they step outside of those constraints, police officers are bonded by bonding companies. All employees are. You know, if in case they steal something, the bonding company covers it. In case you get out there and tear up somebody or hurt them. Well, you sue them to the maximum extent of that bond, and if you got some more left over, then go after their personal effects. That right there stop a lot of that shit. Talking about going after their cars, their trucks, their hunting rifles, their skull, chewing tobacco. Go after their personal effects. Another point. Police officers should have to register with an area registry so people would know exactly what they have done, just like a child abuser or a rapist.
Right.
Why would you want to hire an officer who come from someplace and done something wrong, and that city had to face lawsuits and pay out millions of dollars. You don't want that type of person working for you.
Be a liability.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So you want them to register so you know who you hiring. If he's been involved in a shooting, whether it was justifiable or not, you want to know. Because you don't want your people to be getting shot up.
Right, because everybody else got to have a background check, especially these cops.
You're damn right you do. So they need to be like that, too.
Man, and I know that you said you live in St. Louis, and it's right there by Ferguson. Like, did y'all feel the effects in St. Louis as, like, what was going on in Ferguson? Like, was the,
well,
was the police
you're talking
doing
about
all that
walking
military
distance.
Style stuff there, too?
Yeah, you're talking about walking distance, man. So those people that live in Ferguson was pushed out of St. Louis due to some political stuff that went on back in the 1970s. It goes on in your city, too. You just have to identify. It was called Team 4 here, and it's called – it goes on in other major cities, but it's called by a different name. So those are things – you know, plus we want the police cars, we ask them that they have cameras on the dash, cameras on the rear deck, and a camera on the police officer himself. The videos from them, from those videoing has to be uploaded to an independent source. It can't be uploaded to the police department, and the police officer has no access to edit those videos. It has to go to an independent source.
Now, that makes a lot of freaking sense. That makes a lot of sense.
It makes sure it's not tampered with. It makes sure it's not tampered with.
That's exactly what you were saying earlier, LB. That makes a lot of sense. So why isn't that happening? Like, that's crazy.
Right.
Like, it's not rocket science. That's simple stuff. Like, and it should be, like, that should be happening. I mean, if not before, definitely from seeing what all the stuff that's played out recently, definitely now, like, something has to happen. It can't stay the way it is now, that's for sure.
No.
There should be a independent hiring source that has a registry of black applicants that meet the qualifications to become a police officer. You shouldn't leave it up – The police department had to go to this agency and seek out employees, applicants, until the balance is where it should be. Nobody can't say that the balance can't happen because University City has a higher percentage of black police officers than blacks make up the population in U City. Moline Acres is 99% black, not too far from Ferguson. All the officers are black. You don't have no shootings like this before. And you got some rough areas over there. That's because black officers know how to handle their own people. The governor placed a black highway patrolman over the situation on the ground. He took it out of the power out of Jackson, the white chief. And you had people lining up, coming up, shaking this brother's hand, hugging him. I ain't never seen that happen in police before. The crowd. So that right there should tell you something. So that's what you got to have. Blacks got to put together a educational system, training center where you train young black youth whereas they can be prepared for the rigors of whatever requirements they have in order to join the police department, get into the police academy. You should have the emergency medical technician license certification in your high schools. That way when high school graduates graduate, they got that. They don't have to go to a firehouse begging to be hired and hoping that the firehouse send you to school to obtain that certification. No, you have your children ready, so your children go there 10 at a time and say, we want a job.
Man, you're hitting on some good stuff. I feel like, if you was running for mayor right now, I would vote for you, man. You're hitting on some good stuff. Because the stuff that they talk, they cover in politics, I was talking about this earlier, like, is irrelevant to what's going on in our lives right now. Stuff that, you know, makes sure the citizens are protected and things play out fairly. Like, it's totally unbalanced right now. You're hitting on some real good stuff, Carly. I can tell you know what I mean? You got some knowledge, you know.
Yeah, I done heard all these arguments before about the police treat you wrong and all this. That don't mean a damn thing. And I hate to say it like that, but it's true. These people, as long as they don't violate the law, because that's the only way you can go at them. They have to break the law. You can't go to court and say, oh, he mistreated me. They promised last week that they wouldn't do it. No, that stuff don't fly in court. You got to go into court. You have to go into court pertaining to the letter of the law. Not the spirit, the letter of the law. And that's it.
You gotta come with facts, man. That's what it is. You can't go in there all but he's funny because of a bad thing. You gotta have facts. You gotta have evidence. You gotta have you have to have stone cold. I don't want to say you got to really be able not to only prove your story but to show it. That's what it really is about.
That's right. So that's the way it has to be, man. I don't know any other thing. I've been watching this too long. I don't got too old. The municipality should have a citizen review board over the police department with legal authority to effect change. The police shouldn't be – I mean, these incidents that these police run wild and be running buck crazy shouldn't be left up to an internal review board. Have you imagined them policing themselves? That shit ain't going to happen. It's got to be citizens that do that. When you go to hire a superintendent, you got to have a citizen committee that's there to give input on what you want your superintendent to look like because you're supposed to determine the direction by which your children learn. You can't leave that up to a bunch of teachers that come out of some Teach for Now or Later or whatever they call that organization, Teach for America.
Right, man.
You got the city of St. Louis. You got Ferguson. And see, these cities like Ferguson, right across the street is Delwood. You got Florissant. You got another area out west of there where you got a black community where the average household is about $400,000. So you got these buffers. This buffer of Ferguson and these kids is a buffer to keep the city of St. Louis out of those black communities out there. And that's the point I criticize black people because it's black folks who have to make these changes for their kids. Them kids don't know no better. The reason why these kids are suffering because the previous black generation didn't leave them with nothing to build off of.
Exactly.
What the hell? When do you find a society that throw that type of burden on your children and they wasn't educated in high school? You always complain about how bad the schools are. Them kids don't know anything about what they were supposed to do because they wasn't taught that. And who's supposed to make sure they talk that? It's black society itself.
Exactly.
Nobody is going to teach your kids to take power and to compete against their children. Not in the United States. The United States is about attaining wealth. It's about competition. That's all you see.
Yep.
Whether it's the Los Angeles Lakers playing the Boston Celtics or whether it's the Los Angeles Dodgers playing the New York Yankees, it's about competition. And the same thing drives for jobs. How do they go about choosing who go into college? ACT scores and the other things. You're talking about competition. Whites are not going to teach your children how to compete against theirs. And guess what? I don't blame them. I wouldn't either.
We're not about to show you how to beat us. You have to obtain that knowledge on your own. That has to be something that you want to do for your kids also. You have to want, you know what I'm saying? It has to be something that you have a conscious decision as a parent, whether you're struggling or not. This is how you are supposed to carry yourself if you can. Like, I may not
Absolutely.
Have the means to get you there. I may not have the means to get you there, but at least I have the know-how for you to be able to obtain it your damn self in case you get to a better position than I am. And if you don't have that, then sooner or later you're just going to have a whole bunch of young, mindless kids walking around here with nothing to do.
And I'll tell you something. These economic markets that black people consist of, black folks are the ones supposed to control them. You're not supposed to have people coming from the Mideast. You're not supposed to have people come from Hong Kong and Taiwan controlling your economics. You know why? Because you can't go into their areas and control theirs. They're not going to let you do that. This is tantamount to being a prostitute. We complain about a woman who stand on the corner and will pick up a John and take him to the hotel and let him enter her body. Well, when you let foreigners come into your economic markets and run wild, who's the greater prostitute?
You are.
Man, oh man.
You don't see in the Asian community, you don't see no kids standing at the red light intersection with buckets, helmets, and boxes trying to collect money so they can go to tournaments and buy uniforms like you see black kids?
No.
That's embarrassing.
But hey, can you buy the candy bar because we're trying to go to the tournament? Like candy bar? How much? $1? I'm fine. Oh, the struggle continues.
So our concern is about economics. We have to change our own economic paradigm. We have to create our own business. You can't have a fried chicken joint and expect blacks to come in and buy chicken from you. No, that is not supporting the black business. If you're going to support that black business, you got to raise the chickens, you got to process the chickens, you got to warehouse the chickens, you got to transport the chickens. You got to have everything along the way to a point where that chicken is served on that plate. That's supporting the black business.
You got to have control over that. Because that is your business.
You're right. You can't go to Asians buying wholesale thinking they're going to give you family prices so you can compete against their cousin across the street selling the same thing you want to sell to your own community. These people ain't fools.
They may be generous, but they ain't stupid.
Talking some real stuff, man.
We'll do business with you, but we're not about to, you know, have you put us out of business.
Hell no, that's when they say they don't speak English.
I know what you're talking about. Okay, bye. And I understand that. That makes a lot of sense, to be honest with you. That makes a lot of logical sense.
I can't argue nothing he said, to be honest.
So that's what we have to do, man. I mean, blacks should be manufacturing and producing in African countries, using trade agreements like the African Growth and Opportunity Act that lets you bring things back into this country duty and tax-free that's been produced there. You should be going to your Walmarts, your Targets, your Kmarts, asking for 15% of their shelf space in order to display your goods. I mean, affirmative action is okay for asking for jobs, but we got to step it up a little bit.
I feel like we need to step it up a lot of it because not only do people not know have the know-how in order to obtain these means, or they're not aware that it exists, but not only that, but people are being, you know, seduced constantly by a whole bunch of BS that's just keeping them lax about the situation instead of just, you know what I'm saying, obtaining that type of willpower to, you know what I'm saying, sustain their own living situation.
Look at the blacks, you know, blacks on welfare and use food stamps. Nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with it is that they swiping that SNAP card in somebody else's store. And they taking the profits and sending it back home where their children can come to our universities and colleges here and pay full tuition. Our children got to beg. Try to get all kinds of crazy scholarships. They got to jump through loops for it. That's stupid. That don't even make no sense when you really think about it. Look at your school lunch program, Title I, your free and reduced lunch program that our children so abundantly participate in. It's not blacks that's providing that food that they're eating. You got companies from France and the UK. How stupid is that?
Preach it, man. That's so true, man. That's really true.
So basically, you're basically paying everybody else to take care of yourself instead of you just doing it by your own means. You know,
absolutely. Look at these police officers. What do they build prison? They build prison. They don't build prison in the hood. They build prison out in the rural areas. Then the white police officers come into the hood and working as a police officer to send as many of your sons and daughters back to the prison so that their aunts, uncles, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters can have a job.
That's true, man. Can't even argue that. Like, it's crazy.
So, like, what type of steps are you supposed to take without, financial capability in order to make stuff move? Because, you know, everything revolves around an almighty dollar. Like, you know, what else can you do besides sign petitions and, you know, make
No, you sit down and you make plans and you go after that dollar like it's a loose ball on the basketball court, like it's a fumble on the football field. We ain't playing. We talking about business here. You and like-minded people form your cartels, and you plan, and you target. You target your own economic markets. If you can't control them, you can't control nobody else's. Nobody is supposed to be coming into your economic market. When you leave where you are tonight, you're going to go put gas in your car. You know who's selling that gas.
Yeah, they're
selling the food market. They're selling beer, potato chips, soda.
It ain't me.
Even your small grocery store that then whites left the hood a long time ago.
A long time ago.
It don't make sense to let that happen. I'm telling you. When they sell you a loaf of bread for a dollar, They didn't pay a dollar for it. If they sell it for a dollar, in that dollar is profit. They got enough money to buy another loaf of bread, then they got profit. Your community never sees that profit. That profit goes out. That profit goes out. And just think, how much blood sucking can you take? How much blood do you have that can be sucked out of you
before you die?
That's right.
That's beautiful. Like, I don't see those convenience store owners, like, you know, donating to, you know, like, you know, the helping the community.
The Boys Club.
Or, you know what I mean? Recreational, you know, stuff like that. Like, I don't see none of that. Like you said, none of that money
right.
is, like,
going
back into the community. It's sent overseas to their families, you know, so they can get their green cards to come over and do what they – nah, that's crazy. If you really think about it, it's deep, but it's got to get addressed, and we got to start, like, talking. Like, I want to see more people talking about this, more – media should be covering stuff. Like, we're not talking about the media, like, on TV.
Media ain't
going to
cover it.
Until you
have viable businesses, your politics will never be anything, because all you're doing is voting and somebody else is paying for their campaign. They're going to be behooving to who's paying their campaign. Until you have viable businesses, you're not going to control the police, because it's the politics that control the police. You're not going to be able to control the media, because media depends on business advertising dollars to survive. If you ain't paying the advertising, they ain't listening to you. Reason why come Rush Limbaugh retracted when he called that white woman a slut is because he lost 31 advertisers. Then he came on and said, I'm sorry. If you don't have business dollars, then your education ain't going to be anything, because you cannot teach your children what we talking about now in a public school. They're not going to allow it.
And that's a shame. That's what we were talking about earlier. Like being brought up, you know, and having and a lot of stuff you should be learning in school. Like, we should know and understand the law. Or we should understand all of this stuff, the law, economics. I know they teach you economics and stuff, but we should understand, like, you know, situations, like how to be prepared, you know, for life. And I feel like we aren't prepared when we leave school. I mean, you got a bunch of book smarts, but you ain't really got no street smarts, and street smarts matters too, because that could be the difference in, you know, your livelihood, man. This stuff is serious, man. It's serious.
The reason why people don't support your business is for two reasons. One thing, you don't control the price of the things that you buy, you know, manufacturing and producing. And the second most important reason, because you're not teaching your children this. Your children being taught all out of that. Your children talking to love everybody. Well, hell, you don't love everybody when it comes down to spending money. Who does that?
that's the realest I've ever heard in my life, man. So, I mean, the best thing to do is
real stuff, man.
Take that power out of everybody else's hand and cultivate it yourself, man, so you can have that strength. You know what I'm saying? So you could be able to endow your kids with, you know what I'm saying, how to conduct themselves. I don't know one school that teaches you how to conduct yourself in a, you know, in this world, in a daily place. I mean, they teach you, like, you know, science and math and English, but, like, how to conduct yourself, you know what I mean? I don't know one school that does that at all.
And you're taught to believe everything the media teaches you. And the stuff that the media talk about definitely isn't always what it seems. You actually have to get online and do your own private research. You can't even go to the library and find out some of the stuff that really goes on. You have to literally get online or know somebody that's knowledgeable on this stuff and hear through the grapevine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to learn what Sam wants you to learn in the school system or in the library. You know, so it's definitely important to pass this knowledge to your kids and teach them how to do their own research and educate themselves too.
You got to teach your children how to think critically. We blacks need to set up programs where you take 15, 20 children, black children, and make sure they're proficient so they can pass to get the highest grade that they can on the ACT test. You got to start directing your children into these high-paying professions, these engineering, the medical field. It's not by happenstance that 20% of the doctors in the United States are Indian. This was a plan that the Indians put in place a long time ago, and now you see the fruition of it. It's not by happenstance when you pick up the phone and call customer service, you know who's on the other end of the phone. That wasn't by mistake. That was a plan. So we have to plan, too. Don't let your children say, I want to be this. Children is a child. That's their child. They don't know. We have the ability to look at forecasts and see what jobs is going to be kicking in next 20, 25 years when they in their prime. We got to direct them into those occupations. And at the same time, blacks who have the skills and the necessary talent who's been working for these corporations, actually running a business, you need to come out and compete against them, utilizing the talent that you're producing so that we can achieve 2% unemployment.
Talk to them, man.
Instead of, like, waiting to get fed by the government because you're sitting there with no willpower or no know-how, and the first thing that, you know what I'm saying, you need is just to get up off your butt and just, you know what I'm saying, get to it. That stuff's not about to fall on your lap. I mean, you have no idea. I work at a hospital. You have no idea how many doctors are last name Muhammad, Khan, Patel. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, that whole system is literally made up of those out of Indian or Hindu descent. And I'm sitting here like there's not even a whole bunch of Caucasian doctors here. They're all
no, they out. Don't. They don't ran the Caucasians out.
They done ran them out. Like get out of here. We got this. Bye. See you. Bye. Bye. Thank you very much. Come again.
And Cuba, Castro had a program that's still going on where they would train black students to become medical doctors 7 years for free.
Wow. Medical school for free.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
The Cuban
medical school is so expensive. That's crazy.
The Cuban medical school. The only prerequisite you got to have when you reach 19, you have to have taken organic, inorganic, and organic chemistry. And you have to know how to speak Spanish.
That's it?
Every 2 years, you examined, and then however they do it, when you're done, you have to do your residency. Then you're there. And you don't have no student loans to pay off. Look how far ahead of the game you are.
Exactly, because them foreigners come over here and they get advantages that our own United States citizens don't get. And most of those foreigners can come over here and get a lot of breaks on. And most of them is taking up like, you know, trying to become like doctors in the medical field and stuff. And that stuff is like tends to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they go virtually for free, or they have minimal loans to pay back. But a lot of times, I don't think they hardly have to pay anything back. And you, as a United States citizen, will go there, and you'll end up paying that money back for the rest of your life. That's crazy, man.
The highest family income is Nigerians. They as black as Wesley Snipes and Isaac Hayes. They have the highest educational attainment, even more so than Asians and whites. And they are in the high, they multi-degreed. It's nothing for them to be a PhD and hold a master's. Now, you have to ask yourself, how is it that they do it? They need to be studied, talked to.
Like, how is it working for you? Well, the question that I'm asking is now that we have some idea what type of plan to take, or you know, in a sense, some type of procedure in order to make sure that you're aware and controlled. How are you going to broadcast that message out to a vast area of people, which every leader that has come up has either been criticized or killed, and now they're just lax about the whole situation. How are we supposed to do that for everybody that's, like, listening now?
You talk about it. If you can't do it, see, to be in business and to start conglomerates is not for everybody. You talk about it. Those who have the skills and the expertise and want to explore it, they form a little group, and they go ahead and do it. I mean, it's just and we gotta stop teaching our kids this crazy stuff. Like, don't talk white. I mean, you talking white. Talking white has nothing to do about the pronunciation of words, the structuring of sentences, nor dialect. talking white is when a group of black people are sitting around a table talking about offshore oil well drilling, talking about sanctions and boycotts, talking about equity financing and leveraged buyouts. That's talking white.
They're like, why are you talking like that, man? I don't know what you're saying. Like, bro, you need to get this language down pat.
Why do you sound like you're educated?
Why do you sound like you're educated? Like, are you serious?
Sitting down, what? Planning, plotting, and scheming. Just like back in the during the old series of Dallas with J.R. Ewing. They used to come down to the table and they talking business. They talking business at the dinner table. They didn't have no five refrigerators, no five dining room sets, no five living room sets. They all stayed in that one house.
And they were down there talking business. Like, how are we going to excel ourselves to get where we
That's
need
right.
to be?
You got to do the same thing. The patterns are out there. We got the talent.
There's only one friend I know that's talking about that right now. And as I'm speaking, if he's not listening, he's probably at home studying right now because he put a plan together. He's like, bro, I'm about to do it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, to be honest with you, I got somebody that's around me that's talking like that. Now that you mention it, I'm kind of happy I met the dude.
I cheer him participate in these sports. I cheer him have to be taught that there's more to basketball, football, and we don't play baseball no more, but it's more to those sports than what we see going on the court and the field.
Exactly.
Behind the scenes, you got marketing, you got advertising, you got sports medicine, you got training, you got managers, you got coaching, you got audiovisual communication. There's much, much more, and we have to teach them that there is. I cheer and participate in football and basketball in the colleges that create revenue for scholarships in other sports that we don't even look at. That's black kids that's out there drawing the crowds, that's paying those type of gate fees for that university to create that type of income to pay scholarships for kids to come in golf, tennis, lacrosse, badminton, and all those other things. We have to expose our children to all those things so they can take advantage of it. If you got your own cousin, if you got Ray Ray, if you got Malcolm running the football and shooting jump shots, bringing in that type of revenue, then we need to be taking advantage of what's being derived from that revenue in the form of scholarships in other areas.
That makes a lot of sense. I just went to a U of M game, and it was $50 a ticket. Actually, I think it was more than that. I think it was like almost $60 a ticket. And we over here watching college juniors, man, and they're out there, like, doing work, lots of work. And these dudes all got full scholarships there because of this opportunity. The thing about the opportunity is for you to be able to take it and capitalize on it. If you get a break, you're supposed to take that break and capitalize on it. That's just the same as if you won the lottery and you got all these millions and you see all these people just blowing it. You have to take that break and make something out of it to cultivate for yourself. Because you know what I'm saying? You want to. Everybody who's not knowledgeable about the future, who don't care about the future, is real bleak to me. That's all you have. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, what can I do that's going to have me all right down the line? And when you start thinking like that, then you become a little more logistic with the next moves that you make. You know, instead of them being temporary, you want them to basically be, you know, have longevity. And that's what it is.
So, I mean, that's my prescription. Amos Wilson in his 800-page book, Blueprint for Black Power, and there's been other ones talk about this. Claude Anderson talk about it. It's about the economics. It ain't racism. Racism today is about getting along, holding hands, singing songs, I don't hate you, I love you, and all that stuff. White supremacy is the fact that whites want to control every damn thing. And the way you defeat that is by competing against them. Concentrate on improving your economic wherewithal in the United States for your kids, your community, for your particular society. Then, if we can hold our own, it would make a better U.S., don't you think?
Oh, of course.
Better.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, a person could learn a lot from just hearing the stuff we was talking about, and definitely what you were saying, Carla. A person could learn a lot because you listen to me, I was a little, my feelings earlier, you might get amped up, man. Listen to what this caller is saying, man, because he's more level-headed with it. He's talking some real stuff. And hey, caller, I just want to thank you, caller 314, for setting some light and, you know, dropping some real knowledge on the people, on the listeners. You rock on the call. It's Real Talk Radio. Anytime we add 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday. And thank you. Thank you for calling.
I'm going to let you guys go. And it's my responsibility to do that. You know, I'm older than you brothers and sisters. I don't see that stuff. I don't watch these reruns before. Stay away from all that old crazy mess. Your thing is to improve your economic condition for you, your kids, your family, your society. All that other stuff is nothing but a waste of time. It's not a waste of time, but it should be dedicated to those who want to fool with it, if you understand what I'm saying. So in this thing with Ferguson, the thing that I laid down is what has to come out of this, not only in Ferguson, but in other cities too. The same thing applies. Okay, I'll check y'all later.
All right, thank you. Definitely. Man, he was saying some good stuff, man. He got to get an applause for that.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely deserves an applause for that. Let's go to 513. We got another caller. 513, you're live on It's Real Talk Radio. Police brutality is the topic tonight.
Thank you so much for taking my call. This is Brother Jahi out of the Cincinnati area. And I enjoyed a lot of things that I was hearing tonight, you know. But, you know, a lot of times, I know this, when we're talking about economics, we leave certain portions of reality out of the discussion. You know, this is not a new endeavor for the African community here in America. It's just one of the realities that constantly we're presented with is direct attack. Anytime we had some success and some economic development that was independent, we don't get the freedom to expand and develop our economic operations the same as other groups. And we like to compare ourselves. You hear a lot of statements made in comparison us with other groups. They don't have the Tussauds experience, the Rosewood experience, the Yahweh Ben Yahweh experience. You know, whenever we go into developing some success and it's totally independent, black-owned and black-supported, I don't hear no other group experiencing the same historical attacks. And when we talk about economics, those are reality elements and experience that I don't hear us discuss. You know, the reality of that, that this is a threat. And this is a military execution in developing your own economics and serving yourself. And it's treated like a military experience. And that's one of the areas I see left out a lot when we're talking economics. And one more other thing on economics. Steve Coakley used to try to get us to take the month from November, including Thanksgiving, killing through Christmas. So when we talk about boycotting, you know, let's zero in on what area could be more effective, what time of the year could be more effective, when are the times that we spend the most money, when are the times that this economy benefits the most from our values and our belief system, you know. And
I don't hear too much of anything else being exploited, though, as much as, you know, African-American brutality is. But, like, why is it centered on African-Americans? Is it because it happens often, or that's just the strongest topic in order to keep negative focus on a particular group?
No, I didn't hear you quite clearly. Say that again, brother.
I said, see, my thing is that when you're talking about, you know, we really don't hear too much about this happening with any other race, is it because it happens often, or is it to keep a negative aspect on a particular race group when it comes to, you know what I'm saying, you know, civil unrest, like, you know, how you're perceived, you know, like how society sees you? Like, is that why it's, like, you know, pointed at African Americans so much other than any other race group in America?
It's a lot that goes into that. You know, right now we're the second in the population as far as the race group. You know, but you know, for the longest we was the number one, and that appears to be a threat. Then when you look at historical experience, going all the way back to Kemet, we was able to stop advancements back then. You know, so I don't see, I haven't, you know, ran across no other group that was able to stop the progress, the present realities that we're living in, like we were able to. You know, and maybe that's something they're aware of that we're not aware of. You know, but, you know, us being targeted the most, that's a strong question. And that's something, you know, that, you know, we come up with a lot. We ask them, why us in particular, you know. And the long historical practice of it. You know, some might argue about, yeah, but they dropped the bomb in Hiroshima, you know, and what have you. But, you know, the long duration of this battle with this group and us, you know, it's some, you know, that's a good question, bro. That, you know, deserves a lot more, investigation and study, you know, why us in particular, you know. You got any ideas why it might be?
Me, I think it's a psychological effect to not only, you know, give everybody a negative perspective on young African-American men, but to also break the, try to break, like, the bond that other African-Americans will perceive this. You know what I mean? Instead of feeling bad for the young guy who, you know what I'm saying, or these young thugs out here, we're also blaming them also. Like, you know what I'm saying? You idiots don't know what you're doing out here and blah, blah, blah. So at the same time, when people are automatically looking at them outside, on the inside, it's the same thing that's happening. And if you don't derive any type of love for that situation to, like, just try to break that cycle of hate, man, then it's going to drive you down further. And I think they exploit that so much, so we as a race, or maybe not a race, but people, period, will look at it like, ugh. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just be so disgusted with that situation. Even yourself, ugh. Like, you know what I'm saying? I despise that so much. And at the same time, it's like no compassion whatsoever. It's just automatically, like, shunned on. And I think America wants to keep it in that. You know what, man? I'm not sure if it's something that's standing from, you know, when America was established, or if that's just like an ongoing plan just to, like, keep them at a certain level, because if they get too high up off their ass, we may be in some fucking trouble. That's what
I mean, you know, yeah, Amos, you know, he covered it a lot, you know. Blackmail, violence, the one he did on Black on Black Crime. Well, he talked about how they have to label us in this particular category to make themselves feel psychologically okay with the practice and whatnot. And I like what you just said about, you know, when we take on the same attitude, you know. I was just talking to a gentleman this morning, and I was telling him, you know, the things that we're so dreadful and sin coming out of our youth, we're responsible for. It's a demonstration of our failure. You know, we haven't built the hospitals for our mothers to take their children to. You know, we haven't built the schools. We brought into a lot of values of individualism and consumerism. You know, in spite of the constant, consistent message that we was provided with by Malcolm, Garvey, and so many others, you know, that tried to inform us and make us aware. But we was hypnotized by our purchasing ability, you know, as long as that we had symbolic freedom. We felt that things was okay and wasn't necessary to develop in those different areas. No, but it all demonstrates you know, us not being responsible for ourselves. And I was listening to the last caller. One of the things that he brought up about us going to school and what have you and advancing our education. And I was wondering to myself, has he looked at the latest statistics of young brothers as engineers and social scientists that can't find work, that they refuse to hire, you know, that graduated from some of these best schools in the United States, but are not getting these opportunities. The doors are not opening it to them. And we constantly push that level of activity as a direction we need to be going in. And not looking at the impact and what's actually taking place and recognizing that what's taking place now is just going to increase. The unemployment with our kids graduating from these universities, what have you, is going to increase in the, you know, upcoming future. So, you know, we need to come out of our own old slogan, you know, that leads nowhere but to more dismay and discouragement and demoralization.
I don't mean to cut you off, but no, we did not touch on that. The ones who do have all these awesome degrees and these PhDs and these masters coming out of these five-star schools and all of these top-tier schools and can't find work even though they have the knowledge. No, we did not touch on that because that happens a lot also.
Oh, you know, without a doubt. And for years, man, we've been addressing, you know, what we need to do. But, you know, in the average black community, the A, B, and C's of that is what's being left out. You know, how to sit down and organize something small as a block club and have them collectively learn this information, you know, and how to really implement it. You know, we're totally aware that we need black business.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not aware about how insurance companies will charge us so much that operational costs and what have you will be hindered by that. You know, so the details, you know, the actual nuts and bolts of that is left out. But we constantly, you know, and brother's feeling a form of achievement after parroting themselves that we need economics, you know. Okay, you know, but what in particular? You know, how do I finance myself to provide maybe the uniform in my school district, since a lot of schools are having their children, you know, buy into a certain color uniform? You know, how do I raise the money? Who I make the contact? You know, do I call a number that's on this door space? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times when our brothers and sisters talk about economics, we don't get into the details, you know. And these are perfect opportunities. You know, like here in Cincinnati, I was trying to get this council group in our particular area. They got funding for kids that maintain the honor roll. They get up to $3,000 for succeeding. But they're known as a result of coming out of high school and a lack of preparation for the demands of studies and what have you when they go to college. So, and the level of academics that they receive, not preparing them enough for college, they tend to fall to the wayside. So I was saying, let's cut some of that budget that we get to them, and it's a little Soul Food store that's recently closed. So we can teach them on hand, you know, the body products, you know, what it costs to buy their products, to pay their bills, the operational wherewithal to run a small business like the mom and pop Ayers did in Detroit. That developed to warehouse distribution now from the small level mom and pop store. But,
exactly.
You know, out of your operation, you pay your wages, you pay your bills, you buy your supplies, you know, and the profit goes back into the saving for other endeavors. You know, we just holler black, you know, what we need to do, and we don't give our people ideals how to go in those directions. The additional information. This small period of time that I'm talking now, somebody could be listening and say, that's an idea. You know, instead of just leaving it vague that we need to get into black economics, you know. And
well,
another technique is door to door.
Carla, I definitely appreciate you know, you sharing your light on everything too. But before we wrap up, is there any final words that you want to say in reference to police brutality, whether it's you being a victim or just judging on what you've been hearing lately? Any words you want to say on police brutality, Carla?
Oh, no doubt about it. We need to get out of this good cop, bad cop routine, this message of good. The whole institution is an institution of brutality. You know, our children and us as a race don't got time to wonder, oh, am I being pulled over by a good cop? No. And I like what one of Khaled's speeches, he was talking about how the FOI was trained. When they confronted the police, they stood on the side of the gun. Different techniques besides teaching our babies how to behave additionally once they pulled over, because that's not going to stop this police killing and assassination that's going on in our community. But different techniques how to survive need to be included in discussion. If it look like he's grabbing that gun, you grab it first. Khaled said at the Million Youth March, he got one on his leg, too. You might live this encounter. So that's my conclusion on police.
So you're saying that a person should be willing to fire back at an officer?
Without a doubt. If it look like you might die anyway, because to increase numbers, and here recently, and I looked at the statistics where they talked about more of us than died at the hands of the police than the Gulf War and the duration since the war, evidently it's being clear to us, a form of reality, that this is going to increase. It's not going to stop. As long as white supremacy exists, it's not going to stop. But how about the possibility of providing some techniques that you might have to save yourself in? You know, like Malcolm said, kill that dog. You know.
Wow.
Now, I don't waver from us defending ourselves. He said if you're on your knees, they still beat you. If you beg them, they beat you. So you might as well stand up. So, yeah, that need to be included in the discussion of our babies. Maybe you need training on how to survive in that situation, how to assess your surroundings, how to look for your possible weapon, how to move a little quicker than he does. Than he do. Excuse my.
I can definitely I can understand the argument, but it's crazy because it's like if you as much as that makes sense, if you fire back on one of these officers and that backup comes, you done. You going down execution style. Like they going to gun you down. Like you got a very slim chance of surviving if you fire back on these police officers. But you know what? We're running out of time. Carla, I want to thank you. And you also.
I bet Delaney heard that in Haiti, too.
Say that again?
I bet Delaney heard that in Haiti when the British were coming.
Like I was saying, like you're welcome to call the show anytime. We air every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would love to hear you and our previous caller. You are area code. Your area code
314.
No, your area code 513. Our previous caller was area code 314. He's actually still listening in right now. You know, I would love to hear both of you two. You two sound like you have an interesting conversation going back and forth. We might have to set something like that up. Our official email address is itsrealtalkradio@yahoo.com. And, you know, feel free, like, you know, if you're interested in getting back on the show, we might could set it up and, you know, get some real interesting politics. I never thought we'd be talking politics, but it's pretty interesting. And, you know, you guys are more than welcome to email us, and, you know, maybe we can set something up in the future. You both hit on some good, valid points. And once again, Carla, I want to thank you for calling the show. I'm going to place you on mute, but you can still listen in if you choose to as we get ready to close out. We like 45 minutes to overtime, y'all. Yeah, we're just going in tonight. You know, it's just, you know, it was like police brutality, and then we kind of got into the politics, but it's related because that stuff plays a role. Because I mean, you can't have police without politics. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big part of it, man. And don't know, man. It's like I said, this is one of those things you could just do 5-6 shows like on this one topic, because it's going to open up, and I knew this was going to happen. It was going to lead to other stuff that's like, you know, kind of related, like, you know, politics and stuff like that, like who's in office, you know, like what you're teaching your kids, and all that stuff plays a role, man. And this stuff is crazy. This stuff is crazy, but it needs to get addressed, and I'm glad that we was able to do that tonight. I'm glad we was able to address it, and, you know, this might not be the end of it. I could see us ending up touching up on this topic again sometime down the road, because it's continuing to happen, and, you know, with us being the source of media, we're not the media. We're like our own media. Like, Internet Talk Radio is its own separate media. We do what we do. We don't have to get pulled in the office and say, don't talk about this, don't curse, don't do this, and don't do that. And that's why I love this show. And I couldn't really see me doing, like, FM, maybe XM, they got a lot of freedom, well, more freedom. But I can't have no, like, you know, but, like, the stuff we was talking about wouldn't necessarily be able to be covered on, like, a regular traditional AM, FM type of station. But we do what we do here. And that's what I like about, you know, having Internet Talk Radio. And, you know, before we close out, panel, what's your final statements on this police brutality issue going on?
Nizzy, you want to go first?
You can go ahead.
Me personally, man, I just think a little more, I think a little more precautionary discipline should be taken in place by not only local law enforcement, but as far as government officials, period, when it comes to, you know, keeping the peace. There needs to be I don't want to say just a little bit more, a lot of it more. You know what I mean? Some things need to be evaluated, or else you want to have a whole bunch of pissed off citizens with guns and a whole bunch of pissed off cops with guns. Nobody's going to win that game.
Right.
Well said, LG. Oh,
right. I agree with LV. I mean, the government needs to do something. It's going to get ridiculous pretty soon. I mean, everybody's going to start shooting the police. For real. They're going to have a lot of police officers dead. Because it's going to get out of hand pretty soon if they don't do something quick.
It's getting ugly, man. It really is. Y'all both hitting on some good stuff. Everybody that was talking tonight, even the callers, was hitting on some good stuff. Everybody had some points. You know, everybody made some valid points. And I still stand firm, and, you know, I like what caller 314 was saying. He was definitely, like, you know, like he was definitely more level-headed with the stuff that he was saying about, you know, how the ways to go about things. But I ain't gonna lie, y'all, I still feel like how I feel. I know my way is probably a little unrealistic, but, you know, truthfully, who would have thought that this would be happening here in 2014? It would be, like, this bad, this out of control, like, you know what I mean? So I'm sure, like, maybe 100 years ago or even 50 years ago, people would have been like, nah, no way that's going to be happening in 2014. Police gunning down citizens in the middle of the street and nothing being done about it. Like, you know, and it's happening, and it's crazy. So to me, it's just like what I was saying might seem a little more far-fetched, but look what's happening, man. Like, maybe it's probably won't happen the way I'm saying it. Maybe it will way down the road, but, something has to happen because, like y'all was saying, it will come to the point that it's like that bully that keeps pushing you and bullying you around. The police are bullies right now because you know that it's going to be repercussions. And what is a bully? You're afraid of the consequences of defending yourself. You're afraid you'll get hurt or beat real bad, put in the hospital, maybe even killed. And that's what the police are doing. When somebody can tell you, look, go in the house or I'm going to lock you up, and you're afraid that you really will get locked up, or you're afraid if you defend yourself they're going to kill you, you're being bullied. And after a while, you keep bullying that person, you keep messing with that person, they're going to come back at you full force. And that's what's happening with the citizens. I know people that's like 60, 70 years old that's like, I put a cap on one of them mother effers, like, straight up. Like, they tired. Like, old, young, don't matter. People are tired. people were getting fed up. I know there's good cops out there. I've met them. And like I said earlier, shout out to them. But y'all need to talk to y'all partners. Y'all need to get together and, you know, try to, like, you know, definitely get it together. Get, you know, have a, you know, get your crew together, man, and talk things over. And, man, like, the people that's over top of them, like, definitely need to, like enforce the law. Like, look, if you mess up, if you kill somebody, you're going to jail. Not just you losing your bet. No, you're going to jail. Like, this can't happen. It won't happen. We hired you for a reason. Protect and serve. That's what you got to do. You know what I mean? Because it's real out there, man. It's definitely going down. And we just got to get it together, man. It got to start from somewhere. And sparking up this conversation, talking about it on shows and stuff is a way. Get people talking about it. And then let's just do more than hold signs and stuff. Let's do more. Let's dig deeper, man. Let's dig deeper before it will come to a point where it's the police versus the people. And you know what's going to happen? If it comes to that, see, people are smart. They're going to say, all right, we ain't going to catch you while you got your uniform on and you can legally gun us down. We're going to catch you coming home from work and you ain't got that badge no more and your boy's not with you. Then you catch it. And who wants to see it get that ugly to the point that if you are in law enforcement, you got to live way out on the in a suburb somewhere in a gated community with other fellow officers because you're not safe anywhere else because people ain't going for it no more. You can't even shop at Walmart no more. Like, it'll get ugly. It can get ugly. People are not going to keep accepting that. Something, change has to happen. People, they got to get it together, man. I'm rooting for everybody, the police, us, everybody to come together and find a way to resolve it peacefully before it gets real ugly. But the people who break the law, if you're an officer and you kick gun somebody down, somebody's child in the middle of the street, you need to be in jail. Point blank, the system is crazy, it's corrupt, it has to change. We as the people got to recognize that and come together and get these people out of office that's allowing this stuff to happen and giving people slaps on the wrist. We got to get together, get these people out. The people got to say so, man. We got to say so, but we got to use it, utilize it. Stop worrying about stuff that don't matter. Who cares about what's going on in love and hip-hop? Screw that, man. People, it's real, man. It's freaking things on every other corner in the hood. People who get children getting gunned down by police. It's real, man. Let's start worrying about stuff that really matters, that's going to affect not just our lives, but our children and our children's children. I'm going to stop right there, y'all. I can go all night. I could go on now. I could talk to them doing the things, but, you know, we're about to get ready to close out. And once again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show tonight. I want to thank our callers for joining us and shedding some light. And like I said, our email address, it's realtalkradio@yahoo.com. Anybody can feel free to send us an email. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what you might have an idea for a good show topic. You know, just holler at us. It's realtalkradio@yahoo.com. We here for y'all. And with that said, man, we're going to go ahead and black out. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Catch us next week, same time, Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's Real Talk Radio. The panel, we in the building. It's your boy, Tay Real.
I am Nizzy May.
And it's your homeboy, LZ.
And we are out of here. We will see y'all next week. Good night.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.